albino weasel, an ass clown just barely sneezing. Quickus, we can rebuild it. We have the Order Zogbox. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic ass clown. Alex Linder will be that bionic ass clown. Dumber than it was before. Anal, vulgar, ass clown. Greetings, ogling, wigger, and man's ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plain, in the open air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel. You chosen seed of Israel's race, you who did hear Christ's call, you who are the remnant. Greetings. Now, this is the Movement Turd episode number 89.5. And the chat for it was on Thursday, September 29th, 2011. And the title of it is Mo Gullets and Mullets and Elias Aryan Nations Weekend Mamzerthon. And what it covers is the weekend of Mo Gullets, September 23rd, 24th, 25th, Aryan Nations Congress. Now, it really wasn't much of an affair. From what I gather, around 20 people showed up, and that's counting two of the extra agent provocateurs or spies or whatever who'd already gone ahead and paid for there. And you had Eli James here, the Jew. And, of course, you had Gullet, you know, Mullet there. And you had a few other tards. And going ahead and looking at it, looked like you had some niggers there. I mean, four of them were rather dark. And three of them, on the other side, looked like they were Nation of Islam auxiliaries. And in any case, it's sort of hilarious when you see the Zogbot criminal element so ridiculous and stupid and ignorant, genuine, dual seedline Christian identity that they hold in Aryan Nations Congress. And the Anglum Caesars, like the former Texan and Kunas, Zogling, Wigger, Mamzer, Ass Clown, agents provocateur like Alan Anglum Caesar Truitt and Mo Gullet, are so stupid they show what looks to the genuine deep woods Christian identity long-term believer was obviously a bunch of high yellow niggers and beaners in Aryan Nations uniform. Not to mention the Chicago Sephardic Jew cooking up a mess of Pearlfest and Passover matzo balls. I mean, I went ahead and took pictures. I went ahead and saved Gullet's, you know, little, oh, he had it to rock and roll music of some sort. And I went ahead and saved a bunch of pictures. And it looks like Truitt has some sort of, you know, probably red nigger mamzer in him. His wife, I guess it was his wife, was this woman who had gone ahead and embraced Eli James at the NSM Jeff Shoup thing. And from what I gather, Alan Truitt is now so-called Morris Gullet's prison minister and head of security. And this character has, nobody knows where he's come from. He used to be in prison. And here he is going between Eli James and Bill Fink. Now, how does that happen? And the answer is it happens because, hey, he's just simply a Zogbot. But folks, you go ahead and you look at these people, and they're obviously mamzers. They're obviously not white. There's something wrong with them. And they don't seem to know what the heck they're talking about. All they seem to know how to do is run around and play a little game. And they still end up acting like criminals. Now, what in the world are non-whites doing in Aryan Nations, you know, Congress? And folks, this is not the first Congress since Butler died. I mean, if August Christ had both his legs and all his feet, he'd probably go ahead and deny. He'd say, I ran a Aryan Nations Congress for years while Butler was alive and while Butler was dead and while Morris Gullet was in jail. Now folks, I believe Moskowitz is pretty well a Zogbot. He's a snitch. He got kicked out of the Aryan Nations by Ray Redfern because he was just nothing more than a drunken crackhead who would continually get in trouble. If you go ahead and read some of the stuff here, he'd go ahead and steal from his friends, from Ray Redfern. And I guess Ray Redfern finally went ahead and let him back in. In fact, I went ahead and I initially, foolishly, because, the only thing I got out of it is I met Pastor John Britton. Because Pastor John Britton wanted me to support Gillette. Because I was known as a Christian identity writer. And Gillette is sanctimonious, and Gillette is just simply just a petty-minded criminal with not too much in the way of balls. No, well, not too much in the way of balls or brains. Criminals are not brave people. If they were brave people, it'd be, you'll never catch me alive, and they would go ahead and die like Bob Matthews. Criminals don't have either balls, and they don't have brains. They think they're real smart. They think they're criminal geniuses. But folks, all they do is get in trouble. That's all they know how to do. In the case of Gillette, he went ahead and took a Scott Charles Thornton with him. And from what I gather, his ex-friends here figured out that he's a snitch and they don't want anything more to do with him. Now, I went ahead and saved Gillette's church for him. I asked Pastor John Britton to take over after he'd gone ahead and screwed it around with Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson was just another power-mad little goober freak. And that's all the above-ground Christian identity is. It's just a bunch of retards and criminals and mamzers and Jews pretending to be something they're not, like white. That's all these people are. I sort of helped save his trust fund from Brian Wright and from Jeremy Visser. Here are two more mamzers that Gillette went ahead and ordained. But if you're actually white, you actually do something, Gillette doesn't want to go ahead and let you have leadership in, well, the above-ground church. Folks, I've gone ahead and pretty well made my own way with my own church organization. I go ahead and call it the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, Aryan Nations, but of Missouri. And what I am interested in is not going ahead and leading a bunch of clowns into prison. Into what, I mean, folks, these criminals, I mean, it was not a good thing when Butler went ahead and brought in all these criminals and pretty well alienated the family men to where they went underground, but it was good for the church. But folks, at least Butler had white guys, white criminals doing things. Morris Gillette, now the criminals ain't even white. They're just a bunch of, cork-eyed masters like Truett. And folks, he's a so-called head of security. Folks, Rick Spring was Butler's head of security. He was an Asian provocateur. And Gillette didn't much care for that here because Rick Spring and Billy Roper was claiming that he was the actual head of the Aryan Nations after Gillette went ahead and passed away. Well, just what? 2 months ago, Paul Mullett was going ahead and claiming that Gillette was a $6,000 a year Asian provocateur, but now he's going ahead and going ass to mouth with Gillette. Well, I found out that Vincent Bertolini went ahead and ordained Paul Mullett, and now Gillette's gone ahead and supposedly is working with him again. Well, how does that work? How does people who you don't usually like, who you went ahead and called an Asian provocateur a little while ago, now you're best friends here? Well, how did that happen out? Is it because these people were real holy people and then they figured out is that, no, we're just such holy people, we need to get along? Or rather, is it just simply Zog going ahead and saying, hey, look, you knuckleheads, in order to stay out of prison, you go ahead and you change your doctrine, you go ahead and change your alliances, and you just go ahead and get back together with each other. And folks, that's all this bowel movement is about, is just simply recycled snitches and criminals and Zogbots and Jews and Mamzers and Whiggers running around, playing a little game, usually in uniform. Now, folks, ever since Butler died, or even before Butler died, you had all these Aryan Nation factions, each pretending to be the real Aryan Nations. And in all accounts, all these people have ever been able to do is run around in fancy uniforms or some stupid-looking uniform, pretty well going ahead and using the heraldry of the Aryan Nations. But what you see is you see the people getting darker and darker and darker to where most of them are just Mamzers. They're not white at all. It's sort of like the Aryan Brotherhood. Started out as sort of a white prison gang, and what it did is became more and more and more Mamzerized. And now, what you have is you don't have anyone who's really preaching dual seed line Christian identity. All they're preaching is that we're going to go ahead and whine like pussies about how our snivel blights are being violated by Jews and niggers, and please, can't we just simply be saved somehow by running around in a uniform with critters which, if anybody went ahead and actually looked, is not even remotely white. Folks, you look like clowns. You're costume clowns. This is just a clown show. Wall-to-wall Mamzers. Wikipedia talks to Mamzers. And they all have a little talk show show. And what they do is they censor anybody who goes ahead and disagrees with them. And folks, this is not really a church. This is just a clown show. What happens is Morris Dees went ahead and destroyed, you know, unlawfully, but that's what Jews do, went ahead and destroyed Pastor Butler's freak show. Now, ever since, Zog has been trying to go ahead and create a new freak show underneath a clown, underneath a criminal who they still got their hooks in, so that he can go ahead and reveal who these people are and find out some new white people to go ahead and destroy. But, folks, real white people are not going to go ahead and show up. All that's going to show up is Mamzers and Jews and wannabes. That's all that's going to show up, and that's all that did show up. And most of the people who showed up weren't even Christian identity. They were just, it's sort of like, what would happen if pod people, like in, the Body Snatchers, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and these Body Snatchers, these pod people went ahead and showed up, and now they've taken over. There's no more actual human beings left. So what do these people do? Now they've taken over. You know, they're not really people. What do? And wouldn't some of them want to go ahead and pretend that they were the actual people involved whose body and whose soul who they imitate? Wouldn't they want to go ahead and imitate them people as best they could, but not know, you know, not being human, not being Aryan, not being white, not being Christian identity? They don't know how to act. They're just simply a bunch of clowns putting on an act. In many cases, put on an act in order to go ahead and pretend to go ahead and suck in more idiots. And that's pretty well. That's pretty well what that Mamzer song was about. There was no need to go ahead and kick out these clowns who'd gone ahead and showed up, who'd paid their money in advance. There was no reason for it here. I mean, you just have, it's sort of like going to a Klan meeting to where, what, two-thirds of the people are from various Zog agencies and they don't even know who else is working for them. And there's not hardly any actual Klan members there. It's just Asian provocateurs going through the motions and kicking each other out and doing all sorts of stupid crap. Sort of like Gunwalker that's going through here. Essentially, they're passing laws for everybody else, and here's the government going ahead and giving guns to Beaners to go ahead and shoot down thousands of their own, you know, Beaner people and a few of their own Zog pigs. And all it is just a classic screw-up. a criminal screw-up. It doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't amount to anything at all. So, folks, that's what this show is about, as I knew at the time. I go ahead and talk to Russ Walker for about an hour or so, and then I go ahead and go on in a similar vein. So pretty well what this show was mainly about was the Aryan Nations Mamzerthon and Jewathon of September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So we'll go ahead and get right on it. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and ride away. If the wiggers come to mind, the way they run to and fro, if the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Wiggers keep remembering how good dog used to be. Being taught long ago our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Greetings, ogling wigger and mamzer ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open air coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. Now, this is the Movement Turd, episode 89.5 of 29th September 2011, or at least that's when the chat portion of it was created. And the name of it is called Mo Gullets and Mullets and Eliars and, you know, Eliars Aryan Nations Weekend Mamzerathon of last weekend, the 23rd, 24th, 25th. Now, I've gone ahead and looked, and let's see. Hello. Oh, okay. Well, good, Russ. You called sooner than I thought you would. Yeah, anyway, I'm going ahead, and I'm going to be talking mainly about the Aryan Nations Weekend Mamzerathon of 29th September. You know, tonight's 29th September, but it was the last weekend. And what these idiots did, especially Truett, but Mo Gullet did as well, he went ahead and posted the video, you know, to some rock and roll music. He posted the video, and I took pictures of it, and it had Eli James looking like a kosher chef and it had, on extreme left, it had three pictures of characters who looked like they couldn't pass the brown paper bag test.
Well, who is the guy with the cane, the tall man with the, see, I don't know any of the people in that picture except Eli James. I say, see, I only know Eli James from the recent pictures of him. But who's the tall guy with the white hair?
I don't know. I don't know who that guy is.
Do you know any of those people there besides
you? No. Well, I know Billy Roper. Billy Roper's gotten older since I've seen him in 2004, of course. We all are older, though. Let's see.
The third guy on the left is a colored guy or something like that?
Well, those three guys on the left here, some of them look like niggers.
Well, I don't know what the extreme left, but the next two guys in could be something. Who knows?
Well, I mean, yeah, the two guys, I mean, the three on the side, I end up calling Nation of Islam Auxiliaries. And I said they couldn't pass, huh?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we're going to go ahead and talk about tonight is that about, you know, Pastor Richard Butler, when he took over, he decided that he wanted to have a revolution, and he didn't want to face it. He didn't want to fight it with the family man of Wesley Swift Church. And so as a result, he would go ahead and recruit criminals. He'd go ahead and recruit skinheads at the time. He had so many of them. And, critters, playing bikers. And essentially, he'd go ahead and just recruit, the criminal element. And
what I hear on the Internet right now is not this conversation.
Okay.
Oh, no, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just delayed a little bit. Okay.
Okay. What I have to do is I have to go ahead and mute my computer speakers.
Sure.
Right now I'm going ahead and talking into MP3 phone. I'm holding in one hand the MP3 player. I'm holding in the other hand I'm holding the cell phone, and I'm holding the house phone.
Well, I heard your voice on the talk show, so it is going out over the talk show.
Yeah, well, you have your computer on at this time, I assume,
right.
Correct?
Right.
And there's a delay, usually around 30 seconds, to where if somebody goes ahead and hears something they don't like, they can go ahead and, proceed to mute or something like that, even though it's recorded, quote, live.
Right.
And if you want, you know how to go ahead and use the MP3 player. You MP3 pad or some other sound editing software, you can go ahead and do so.
See, one of the things that bothers me about identity is there should be more people, engineers, scientists, doctors, lawyers, but for some reason people gone to college are not attracted to it for whatever reason. Now, I get a number of arguments, people give me a hard time, but the Bible says very clearly that the gospel will be brought by unlearned men. When you look at Christ's time, the people who were the apostles, they weren't the geniuses of the day. I don't know how to describe it.
They weren't the Pharisees of the day, were they?
Okay, not the Pharisees.
They weren't the Sadducees or the Levites of the day, were they?
But even today, we see the same thing.
Of course, you see the same thing.
The main people of identity are carpenters and plumbers, and there's nothing wrong with being a carpenter and plumber. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying there are very few people. I think you and I are the only exceptions that are just about who ever went to engineering school. I mean, it's just, I don't know why it is that way, but it just is that way.
Well, I'll go ahead and are you okay?
Am I okay? What do you mean, am I okay?
Well, I'm sorry your chest is hurting.
Your what?
Oh, Roxy is not feeling very good, so I'm gonna go ahead and take the conversation out of my bedroom, but out of my computer room next to the bathroom. But there's a very simple reason for that. I don't know if you remember 30 years ago when Ronald Reagan was running for for president. And then when he was president, they called him an amiable dunce here, and they said that the problem with Ronald Reagan wasn't what he didn't know. It was all the things that he knew, which just weren't so.
And that's the problem with any so-called edumacated man.
Every edumacated man thinks that his programming and how he sees the world is the only way of going ahead and seeing it. And as a result, he's not able to believe in Yahweh. He's not able to go ahead and understand the simplicity. It's the people of the land, the farmer, the man who works with his hand, you know, the Aryan. And that's what I go ahead and explain, is that if you're a Mamzer, or if you're a Jew like Eli James, or, you know, Rabbi Finkelshini, or any of these characters, you don't understand what you're doing. So it's a mixture of two different things. Now, I'm a, quote, edumacated man, even though I didn't go to any so-called, quote, top-tier universities. And the thing in the, you know, saying in the rest of the world is that an American college student takes 4 years to learn something and 40 years to go ahead and get over it. And, well, yeah, it's true. But in any case, Russ, I came to it. I had an advantage over my, quote, rivals, and I went ahead and said that in my email to you and also on my forum, in that I had for 10 years, from the ages of 10 to around 20 or so, I had essentially the advantage, well, I didn't think of it at the time, but I had the advantage of having to sit on a folding steel chair in a rented hall somewhere, you know, for about 2 hours and 15 minutes average, every Sabbath, Saturday, while essentially Herbert's hollow man went ahead and preached to me British Israelitism. And as a result, if I want to go ahead and come up with, you know, what I, a point I wish to make, it will sometimes take me 15, 20, 25 minutes to go ahead and find the passage, but eventually, you know, sooner or later, I will find the passage. Okay, I'm not talking about correspondence. I'm talking about a King James Version.
That's what I mean. The Bible uses King James Version. It's a powerful software package.
Well, no, I'm not talking about software package. Back then, we didn't have computers.
Oh, I understand that, yeah.
I'm talking about essentially learning it from when you are a child, you know, learning from when you are a child to where... We didn't have any blue letter Bibles. We didn't have any we didn't have any concordances. We didn't have anything other than essentially your mind and what you were taught when you were a child. Now it said that if you are over the age of 6, when you learn a second foreign language, you will always speak that foreign language with an accent. Well, that's the same thing. That's the same thing in that I have an advantage over pretty well anybody within Christian identity, other than, you know, Pastor John Britton. He literally had, from the time he was an infant, table talk about from Wesley Swift's Dual Seed Line Christian Identity Church. I had one seed liner. British Israelitism, and essentially I didn't really want to talk to it, I wasn't really allowed to talk, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14 year old boys are not allowed to talk in Herbert Armstrong's church. But as a result, I got a thorough understanding at a young age of at least the British Israelite portions of Christian identity. Now, I didn't much care for a lot of what Herbert taught, especially about tithing, especially about divorce and remarriage, especially about anointing clause, because I've seen the abuses that Herbert Armstrong put such doctrine to. And Herbert Armstrong was just like the government. It was do as I say do, don't do as I actually do indeed do. But I did have an advantage over pretty well about everybody I know in Christian identity. And that at a relatively young age, I was taught, well, pretty much about the Roman Catholic Church. I was taught about a number of things. And as such, it shaped my view or my vision of what Christian identity is. Now, what you have in the case of Morse Gillette, or, you know, Ray Redfern, Richard Butler, all these other people, what they had is that they had the disadvantage in that they were the first generation convert. They came to Christian identity as a result of when they were already old and set in their ways. And what I have seen, especially of, well, you know, Eli James, I believe, is a Jew, and thus, you know, he does not understand anything about Christian identity. I believe he's a Maronite Jew, because he tries to go ahead and bring it to Roman Catholicism, and so does Bill Fink. And what you have is that you have so many of these criminals. Right around the mid-90s, they were essentially taught, you know, Lorraine Swift would send a bunch of these Kingdom Identity Ministries AIT courses to these criminals for little or nothing. These criminals would have plenty of time to go ahead and look at it. In the case of Fink, I believe that since he had an aptitude for, you know, reading history because he had nothing else better to do, essentially, he's been brought in as an infiltrator into Christian identity. And as a result, he still brings his Roman Catholic horseshit, or tries to go ahead and fit it into that. And such people like, Jeremy Visser, who was, you know, raised a Lutheran, don't know what to make of it a lot of the time. But you have all these criminals. Brian Wright, you know, man's a criminal. Jeremy Visser, man's a criminal. You know, William Fink, Jew, man's a criminal. And what they're doing is they're taught what I call Wikipedia Christian identity, but they don't actually have the viewpoint. They never did have the viewpoint. As such, they don't impersonate Christian identity to somebody who was raised in it. You understand what I'm saying, Russ?
Oh, it's like having, like, you're right, your analogy is right, a native language versus a learned language. I mean,
yeah.
I've studied French, German, Italian. I'll never be fluent in any of those languages. I can only fool around with them at best. I'll never be fluent in them. It'll never happen.
Well, I could speak, and supposedly I was one of the best learned German speakers. And essentially I could read it a lot better than I could speak it, but I could pretty well read it at the level of an 8-year-old, and I could speak it at the level of about a 2 or 3-year-old.
The main thing you're trying to say, Martin, is that, let's say at the age of 12, you were presented certain ideas.
Well, since the age of 10.
Or 10, yeah. 12, whatever it is. And you've had 30 years to think about this stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, John Britton was far more in rebellion against it than I was, but I was in rebellion, too. I mean, Herbert Armstrong's church certainly didn't want any of its young men joining the army and, targeting nuclear missiles in Germany and screwing whores or stuff like that. I mean, I was trained up in it, and I pretty well...
What are you saying, school whores?
Yeah, huh?
What do you mean, school whores? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, Herbert Armstrong's church did not like me joining the army, and essentially they didn't know about me going ahead and screwing whores when I was in the army in Germany. But that isn't what they taught at Herbert Armstrong's church. I'm just simply saying that as a young man in my 20s, you know, early 20s or so, I pretty well was in pretty much rebellion against what I was taught for 10 years. Now, I wasn't totally in rebellion. I mean, it's not like I had a homosexual love affair or screwed niggers or anything like that. But you understand what I mean is that I can't really say that I was living a godly life from the age of 21 to about the age of, I really wasn't living a super ungodly life, but I really wasn't living a very godly life according to Christian identity principles. For about, 15 years or so. And then around my mid-30s, I decided to go back to what I had learned, and I started out essentially as a one-seed liner, and I changed to dual-seed line in 1996 or 1997. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, pretty well, in many cases, as far as Christian identity policy, I go pretty well harken back to what I learned at Herbert Armstrong's church, but with not the crap, hopefully, in it. And as a result, I can understand, for example, Bill Fink was going ahead and talking to his little Talmudic sewing circle about who was, and this was me listening in after the fact. You know, Bill Fink didn't know who Simon Magus was. And I called John Britt and I says, you know, Finkelstein, you don't know anything about who Simon Magus was, or either that or he's lying, he's pretending they don't know who Simon Magus was. And John just said, well, hey, even my youngest daughter knows exactly who Simon Magus was. And all Fink had to go by.
Honesty. I mean,
say what?
I've heard the name once or twice, but I really don't know who
Simon. Okay, Simon Magus was mentioned in Acts. He was a magician who asked Peter and Paul to, quote, sell him some of this Holy Spirit so he could make a killing off of it. And Paul told them, you will die, and your little magic show will die with you. Now, in the deep woods Protestant and the Christian identity belief, one seed line and dual seed line, everyone knows that Simon Magus was none other than the imposter who claimed to be Simon Peter, and he was the very first pope of the Roman Catholic Church. He set up the Babylon mystery religion of Roman Catholicism, which is universalism. Okay? So that's who, if you were raised in Herbert Armstrong's church, you know who Simon Magus was. If you were raised in a dual seed line, Christian Day church, you know who Simon Magus was. Now, if you're someone like Rabbi Bill Finkelstein, you don't know who Simon Magus was, or you are lying because you're a Marino Catholic Jew who doesn't want to talk about how the so-called very first pope of the Roman Catholic Church was none other than this Babylonian magician Jew pretender named Simon Magus. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, in many cases, sometimes John Britton will go ahead and tell me some off-the-wall shit here, and I go ahead and I look into it, and I find out that it may still be off-the-wall according to what churchianity believes, but as far as what actual Christian identity believes is that it is pretty well part of our belief. He was coming up to where the two, Nephilim giants, Og and Sihon, supposedly were pre Noah's flood, and what they did is during the flood they sort of hitched a ride, and being 12 foot tall and very strong, they managed to pull themselves up the ark and stay on the decking. They weren't fed, they weren't anything, and they managed to go ahead and survive for the better part of a year, on the flood. And as a result, they actually lived longer than Methuselah. Because, they were very, very, very big giants. They were very strong giants, very powerful giants. And it wasn't unless Yahweh went ahead and created a miracle that Og and Sihon were able to survive. Well, John Britton went ahead and said that, and I said, what do you mean? And he went ahead and showed me Wikipedia entries in that you have actual cathedrals showing Og and Sihon going ahead and grabbing hold of the ark. So this is, this is a tradition, and it's sort of like the Apocrypha, and I believe it's more than likely quite true. Do you understand what I'm getting at? And as a result, John Britton has a better grasp of a lot of the stuff that I never learned as a one-seed liner than, that other people don't know anything about.
Oh, it's too bad John Britton working right now, if you know what I mean. Otherwise, he could join some of these conversations.
Well, he, you know, because of the Brian Rio, you know, causing trouble, you know.
Has he resolved the whole thing yet or not? Is he?
No, he hasn't resolved the thing yet at all, and, you know, pretty well. I don't really want to talk anything more about it.
You know the way I feel on that subject, but we'll let that go at this point.
We'll let that go.
Okay. That's unbelievable. Anyways.
Okay. Are you on the chat?
I guess I am. I don't know.
No. Are you in the chat room right now?
I can get there in a second.
Oh, it's no big deal. Why don't we take a 2-minute break? I'll go ahead and save this, and then I'm going to go inside and, go ahead. We've had 22 minutes or so.
Okay.
So let's just go ahead. Let me take a 2-minute break. You go ahead and get in the chat room.
Okay.
And we'll just come back in just a minute or two. Hail victory, Russ. Hey Maui, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white chest, life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on Rust and let come fly. Hopping on the bank of the river, stars are dead, love your twat. Hopping you is what I live for. I just had a wigger thought. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cast wife goodbye. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Set on lust and let come fly. We'll find a little CI chapel, a pair of goose and Eli or two, underneath the rumpled sheets, like a pair of minks will screw. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white chest, life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Viva Las Vegas, sparkling lights, hopeless living, pubic lice. I'm your dick in your hole now, honey, and you're my man's a fuck. You can diddle me without any money, no one but me gives a fuck. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cast, life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Viva Las Vegas, sparkling lights, hopeless living, your pussy's not tight. I'm your dick in your hole now, honey, and you're my mantra's fuck. You can do me without any money, no one but me gives a fuck. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cast, life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on love and let's come fly. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cast, life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Bet on lust and let come fly. Bet on lust and let come fly. Well, what do you expect from a Jew?
Well, he can say anything he wants to about me. I could utterly care less.
Okay.
I mean, one of his buddies used to be that Patricia Maui, whatever the hell her name is.
Well, wasn't his buddy after she said he ought to be doped up.
She said what?
She said he ought to be doped up because he was psychotic.
Well, I don't know what she said.
Well, I remember what she said.
Okay.
She sided with Eli James, and old Finkelstein had said about it. She said he ought to be doped up.
Well, in any event, Martin, look, I don't know nearly as much about the stuff as you do.
Okay.
Looking at the Zogbots.org, which is interesting, he was pretty nasty about her. He said a lot of things about her which weren't charming. I don't know if they're true or false. I have no idea. I know in my particular case, he's made a lot of false statements about me. I know where he got the information from, but it still is wrong, but I could care less. I could utterly care less. But he apparently, for whatever reason, he and Eli had a falling out, and Fink is really vicious towards Eli.
Of course he's vicious. I attribute it to the dislike between the Ashkenazi and the Sephardic Jews. You know, Eli's a Sephardic, and Finkelstein's an Ashkenazi Jew. That's what I attribute it to. But what it started out as is that in December and January, Emma Heiser's always had this dislike for the Comparean view that, Emma Heiser has just simply said there's only sheep and goats, there's only two races, white or non-white, and
House of Israel, everybody else.
Okay, well that is an easy way to go ahead and say it. But the Comparean view, and I've gone ahead and explained it in that you have six-day beasts of the field who are the non-whites without a soul. Then you had the seventh day when Yahweh rested. Then Adam was created on the eighth day. The creation was already finished. Yahweh rested from the creation. So Adam was not really the creation. He was the created. He was made for the creation. He was made to enjoy the creation. The creation was made for Adam, not Adam for the creation. And then I says that essentially, if you go ahead and want to talk about days, your Jews through Cain are the ninth day. So I said the 6 day beasts of the field, 8 day Adamites, ninth day Jew boys, and pretty well.
Never heard that before. That's a new one on me.
Well, it was a movement. It was the title of a movement. Turd. I went ahead and added the ninth day. I went ahead and added the ninth day because if you're going to go, I mean, really, it is not. I don't really believe that all this occurred in 6 days or so. I don't believe it literally occurred in 6 24-hour periods or 7 24-hour periods. I believe
1,000 years for all we know. Who knows how long a day was? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, and that's what people go ahead and talk, and that's why you end up having. Oh, in the Masoretic text where the Bishop Busher said 4004 B.C. to explain that now that we are at 2000 A.D., we've gone through 6 days of man, why the millennium is just up ahead. And that, that was, the Bishop Usher, but he came up from the Masoretic text. If you go ahead and look at the Septuagint text, pretty well you've had Adamic people for 7,000 years. But the big fight is that Emma Heiser has always had a problem with Bertrand Comparé. And you had two people, two main teachers after Comparé. One was Willie Martin, and Willie Martin understood that he would never match Bertrand Comparé. So essentially all his work was derivative of Comparé. Emma Heiser dares to go ahead and criticize Comparé, and he has a problem with what we call the eighth day Adamite view, and he calls it a heresy. Well, no, it is the standard Comparéan orthodoxy of dual seed line Christian identity. It is the orthodoxy. Emma Heiser's notions is really the heterodoxy. And here he comes in with his pupil, Fink.
And the heterodoxy, you mean non-orthodoxy, is that what
you mean? Non-orthodoxy.
Okay.
But there's a term, it's called heterodox.
Okay.
But usually it's not used because usually the Roman Catholic Church prefers to call everybody a heretic who don't agree with this holy, Babylonian horseshit. Now, I'm not going to call it a heresy because as far as I'm concerned, they don't have enough, they don't have any actual white people who listen to Emma Heiser or Finkelschini or Eli or James to where it's not really a heresy, because the people who are following them aren't even white. So, therefore, who gives a crap what niggers and Jews think? So to me, you know, their ideas aren't really heresies, because what they think or believe doesn't really matter. What I've seen in my time, especially the last 3 years I've been out or so, close to 3 years I've been out or so, is that what you have is that you have wandering mamsers going from Wikipedia CI bail priest to the other. I seen it this past weekend when Eli James was down in Louisiana, and you had Ethan 24, who's his pet mamzer, running over to Finkelschini's because he couldn't get a fix of pretend Christian identity, and, you know, pretty well, you know, Matt Twat Zogbot says, well, you're going to be allowed here, even though you're an Eliar, but you're not going to be allowed. But right around December and January and early February, all this stuff came to a head, and it was over with by the second week of February. It lasted for about 5 weeks.
What was it over with?
This big fight between Eli James and Fink and Emma Heiser.
Continuing right now. Well, that's another story. Okay.
Well, it's continuing, but all it is is just shots being fired at each other.
Right.
The actual, you know, when they were both together, all this split occurred in, you know, from about the very third week of December, when Eli James was gone and Fink went ahead and took over his show and essentially trashed out what Eli James had to say. And Eli James was actually initially far closer to the Comparean view than what Emma Heiser was. Emma Heiser does not like the Comparean view that Yahweh created the other races. So then the question of it is, well, where did they come from?
The races who created them. The salamanders?
Yeah, well, where did they come from? Did they evolve? Did they de-evolve from monkeys? I mean, you know, who created them? The answer is that Yahweh, I believe, created them, except if you want to go ahead and believe in the Swift belief that some of these niggers, like these East African niggers, were brought over from the planet Dogon by the governor of the planet, which was Satan. And
Yahweh created Satan. What's the big deal?
Yeah, we got Yahweh created Satan. So in the long run, all these people were, you know, created by Yahweh, either directly or indirectly. But the
I don't know as much theology as you or think or other people do, but I hopefully have some sense.
Well, Fink don't know anything about theology. He just knows Roman Catholic horseshit that he's trying to peddle.
My first thing was, if Yahweh didn't create the niggers, who did? I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the simple thing. Who did?
And then was it a bunch of salamanders? I mean, that's why some of the comments that come from some of these guys... But see,
Emma Heiser likes going ahead and saying, well, look at niggers. How can anybody say what these niggers do is good? Well, the answer is that Yahweh did not create the niggers and put them on this continent.
Well, you know, the niggers like he created the dogs.
Well, yeah. Everybody agrees that niggers belong in Africa, right?
Well, they're part of the animal kingdom, okay? I mean, that's all.
Yeah, well, they're just beasts of the field. Right. In fact, the Bible does not mention the Chinese. It doesn't mention the, quote, American Indians or American Mongoloids or whatever you want to call them, Redskins. I mean, the Bible did know about niggers, but it didn't know about, you know, it knew about white people, it knew about Edomite Jews, it knew about Egyptians, it knew about a number of people from back then. It knew about a Babylonians, it knew the difference between an Assyrian and a Persian and a Mede, and it knew about niggers. But it, you know, you don't have any mention in the Bible that I can see of the Chinese people, much less the American Indians, correct?
They're not identified as such.
Yes, well, they're not even addressed, and the answer of it is that they were not.
Israel, that's why.
They were not a common feature during the biblical times, were they?
I agree. They had nothing to do with the house of Israel.
That's right. So, to say that they are evil or evils to go ahead and say this giraffe is evil. It's an evil giraffe, or it's an evil zebra, or it's a evil, it's an evil tiger, or it's an evil bear, or something like that. They're not really evil because they don't really, they are what they are. They're just simply animals who have no part within Christian Israel. So to go ahead and deny on that basis because niggers act bad in this country where they have no business being is essentially Emmaheiser inserting himself into his likes and his dislikes into Christian identity. But it's sort of a moot point when you have Clifton Emmaheiser sitting, pretty well on the show of as an evil a creature as ever existed as Brian Rio. You know what I mean? Brian Rio pretty well says that Fink and Eli James and Emmaheiser are altogether liars and hypocrites, right?
Well, I don't know if he said that or not, but I...
No. I mean, if you believe that niggers are inferiors, that they have no part within the congregation of Israel, Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, what in the world are you doing showing up, on this blubber-lipped, nigger, slant-eyed gook, shit-skinned, beaner faggots, forum, pretending, listening to him yap and scream about racial impurity? I mean, isn't that ridiculous? Right?
It's hypocrisy.
Yes, total hypocrisy. It's total lies. I mean, if you really believe what you say, why in the world do you have anything to do with Brian Rio?
And Fink is incapable of distinguishing.
No, Fink is an evil Jew. See, you don't have any problem with, in the Bible, with Jews knowing that, with Jews doing evil. Jews do evil not because they are morally blind. They do evil because they are genetically the spawn of Satan. They're evil. They're born evil.
That's why when I once asked Fink, he talked about the good figs and the bad figs. I used to show me one goddamn good Jew fig. I've never seen a good Jew fig in my entire life.
What do you like? Do you like you saying that?
Pardon?
Do you love you for saying that?
I'm sorry?
Did he love you for saying that?
Oh, no. Fink does not like me. In fact, Fink sent me his recent, Christian Messenger or whatever thing it's called.
New Saxon.
He writes real good.
He writes real good when he's able to go ahead and look at it. He writes real good. But he goes ahead and censors because he don't want anybody knowing about his past. Does he?
He doesn't want any criticism. I mean, the reason, he'll mute me. He doesn't want me to be on any of his programs. I sent him an email and said, Bill, will you call me a liar and all kinds of nonsense? I've done nothing about the Bible. And he keeps sending me this Christian news magazine, whatever it's called.
Well, he wants to, it's his little Jew way of essentially shitting on you. In the case of Finkelschini's censoring, Morris Gillette took down his video from which I went ahead and took these pictures of these here little nigger of Islam's auxiliaries and Eli James. I went ahead and said, we got a new kosher chef, Iron Chef, Eli James. Here he is producing his specialty, Cousin Ray, the Sicilian Guido Jew, ambulance chaser from New Jersey, the lawyer, kosher chicken Mariani with blue-eyed blonde Passover blood matzo noodles. And essentially, Gillette realized that he was showing essentially nothing more than about 17 or 18 tards, of whom a high percentage of them looked like niggers. And pretty well, he took down that video. He took down that. I went over, to his Aryan Nations webpage, and he took down the, the congresses. And yesterday, I know he did today, because he went ahead and looked at my webpage, and he just had a fit over. I went ahead and took screenshots of it. I did go ahead and save the video, but I took pictures of it, and essentially, you have. Well, you seen You seen a picture of his little Aryan Nations Congress? Yeah, I seen at least three of them that looked like niggers to me. Maybe four of them.
Yeah, they look cool. Well, from a distance. But anyway, does Fink do this stuff 27 hours a day? All he does is write newsletters and.
I think. Well, that's all. That, you know, I mean, look. He talks about how he was a great. He was in the information technology, you know, field, and like this, whiny Dave from PK or Andy Renard or these other people say, is that no, he's not a technical genius. He's not a technical genius at all. He essentially, his webpage is just simply out of a box, is customized out of a box by other people. But the thing about it is that for most of his life, and if you go ahead and listen to some of his shows, he admits that, you know, directly out of high school, he became a Jersey City pig for Hudson County. And that's where he went ahead and, you know, killed this Puerto Rican prisoner. And Fink will lie to you. He's a complete sociopath. He's a complete amoral sociopath. There's not, I mean, I was locked up. I mean, you and John Britton and a number of honest people don't understand criminals. I was locked up for 3.5 years with criminals. Some of them who were insane, some of them who were pretending to be insane because they didn't want to go to prison. I was locked up with criminals.
I've worked with more criminals than anybody I ever saw in a joint. The lawyers and the police can be vicious, evil sons of bitches. You know, power corrupts absolutely.
Well, yeah. Well, the lawyers and, you know, the lawyers and the pigs. I'm talking about the ones who are cased. I'm not talking about the criminals who are running things. I'm talking about the criminals who essentially got caught and who were put in prison. Okay? And I've seen the professional criminal act. And in many cases, that is what you have, you know, in Butler's Aryan Nations, and that's what you have in Gillette's Aryan Nations. Gillette does not care that these people are Mamzers. He did not care that Brian Wright was a slant-eyed, you know, Duke Mamzer. He doesn't care that, you know, I looked at Truett. Truett looks like he's probably mostly white, but
if that's true, then why are these guys allegedly Christian identity? Why do they go through, what does Eli James spend all his time doing the things he does? Why does Fink do all these things? Is it because they want
to
be?
It's because they are sent in to change Christian identity. Fink was essentially a criminal. I see it time after time with Brian Wright, with Fink, with Jeremy Visser. Essentially what you have is you have Mamzer criminals. They go ahead and they go ahead and tell Mike Hallamore, oh, I'm a poor white, you know, supremacist here who's a political prisoner. Please send me, you know, at reduced rates your AIT workshop here. I believe that Fink, somewhere around year 8 or 9, essentially, he's very clever. He's very clever as far as telling people what they want to hear, just like most pigs are. And essentially, at plenty of times, so he learned Greek as a second language. He doesn't really know how to speak it. Hell, he doesn't even know how to pronounce English words. I think he's just some little second-rate rabbinical student. I think Eli James is a Jew, and he has been sent to infiltrate Christian identity and change it. And in your emails with Eli James, he said, well, you know, see, what Eli James said 7-8 months ago, and Fink is right in calling Eli James a liar. I've called Eli James a liar. You have a recording from early January, where Eli James is saying that you cannot blame these Mamzers for being the children of other race mixers or Mamzers. Why, if you just go ahead and leave them alone, they're going to die out. And look, Eli James, I mean, I don't see Mexico dying out because, you know, the beaners down there, you know, can't screw and produce more beaners. I don't see any lessening of the population in Mexico. Do you?
You don't see any walking population?
You don't see any lessening of the population in Mexico. They're all Mamzers, ain't they?
Of course they are.
Yeah. Do you see them dying out as a population when left to themselves?
No, why should they die out?
Well, that's what Eli James says here. Eli James has said the stupid shit. And he was saying that some, you know, Canaanite Sephardic Jews could have their own little homeland, you know, in Kazakhstan. And what happens, they're not all going to be put to death on the eighth day here. And while I was trolling, I said, why are you talking about Yahweh's laws applying to non-whites? They don't have a soul. Why would Yahweh resurrect them? Once they're dead, they're dead. That's it. They're animals. They don't have a soul.
This is where Fink and Eli got in a big argument.
They got in a big fight over it.
And this is they shouldn't be worried about that nonsense.
Well, what you have is when you have someone like Brian Leo talking about how one part in a thousand is enough to make you a mamzer, you know, and this cocksucker is not even what? A third white. I mean, isn't it ridiculous? And here you have Emma Heiser and you have, you'll think, listening to the stupid crap. The last show that Brian Leo had, and Emma Heiser was on it, was a month ago. Brian Leo sort of laying low the last, what, four weeks. Right?
As far as I know, you're right.
Yeah, well, I just went ahead and looked.
No, I don't follow him or think very well. So.
Well, I follow Brian Leo because Brian Leo has, he follows all the so-called Christian identity shows.
He follows them.
So I go to his talk show page and I go ahead and he has about 15 of them listed. So if they're not scheduled, you know, if they're on at that time, it'll go ahead and show that they're on. For example, last night I was going to go ahead and troll Dan Johns' show, and I did so. I went ahead and trolled it, and here's Alan Truitt, and Alan Truitt doesn't realize that those videos he's showing is going to be used as ammunition by myself. I went ahead and showed not Truitt's, videos. I mean, but I did go ahead and show, Gillette's, video. I went ahead and took those screenshots from it. And as a result, Gillette has gone ahead and pulled that video because, well, it's just like when I went ahead and got on their show and chewed on their ass for 20 minutes. They pulled it and then they cut the 20 minutes while I was talking off. I mean, pretty well I catch these worthless bastards and then they have to go ahead and pull their crap because it don't look good on them. And essentially those pictures where you have what looks like a bunch of niggers, at his Aryan Nation conference, that don't look good now, does it?
I agree with you.
Do you think Brian Real is pulling down my web pages and claiming a DMCA copyright because I go ahead and show his Facebook profile and his Zuqua.com pictures? Do you think that he is proud of those Facebook pictures and Zuqua.com pictures, which make him look like a nigger or a gook or a beaner?
That's the way they are, but he's an evil son of a bitch, and
well, he's a mamzer too, isn't he?
Sure. Reason so many people. He made so many enemies. People are attacking him all over the damn place. And he was just trying to get back, but he can't get back.
He can't go ahead and get back. What he does, he acts as a guest on the UI show and certainly on Fink's show, but essentially everybody's seeing that Brian Real's a mamzer. So what do you do with that mamzer? Answer, well, you're a Jew who associates with that mamzer.
I agree.
Yeah. So why do you do that? And
Eli and Brian Rio don't associate with each other anymore because, as I could tell ahead of time, Rio would throw his cards in with whoever he thought the winner would be, and he perceived that Fink was the winner, and that's why he went with
it. Well, Fink now is the winner. I mean, pretty well this month of September has been pretty much a disaster for Eli James. He showed up at the National Socialist Movement, and essentially all the other Nazis who don't like, Jeff Shoup, which is two-thirds of them, two-thirds of the costume clowns are at odds with the NSM. And they all said, well, hey, Eli James is a Jew. Last year, when they had their big rally, their one big rally of the year, they made a big thing about Cliff Harrington being, the head of the Joy of Satan Church. You know what I mean? He was a Satanist. So last year was a big thing about Jeff Shoup having a Satanist at his meeting. This year was a big thing about having a Jew at his meeting. And, you know, now you have Eli James, and I haven't seen any video of Eli James speaking. They had Billy Roper, they had Monica Stone, and shit, that woman looks like she's a tall Filipino woman. She's a rather dark heifer look. She's a little rather dark looking heifer too. You were asking about this old white guy here. I bet that's Monica Stone's husband or father or something. You know what I mean?
I have no idea.
Well, I have no idea either. But what you had is you had a picture of, I think, 18, which means that somebody was holding the camera. You didn't have a very big turnout. But it was somewhat financed, I believe, it was financed by the Harold Grooms estate. And now you have a bunch of people whining and pissing and moaning that they were, you know, that this little three-day event, two-and-a-half-day event, was a fiasco, and you've already had some purges. And you have this guy whining over on Ashkenazi Asswife's blog about how he went ahead and let in these people who had so-called infiltrated, and you had 30 SWAT pigs come in and supposedly rescue these people. And I speculate that these two people who were infiltrating, they probably didn't stand out because they looked too white here. If they looked like Brian Wright or Brian Rio or Eli James, why, they'd have fit, or Dan Johns, they'd have fit in just well. But that's the thing about all these criminals. These criminals, it's just like the area, you know. I know that you probably don't go ahead and look at, you know, you probably don't have cable TV, right?
No, I don't have cable TV.
Okay. Well, they had on what I call the Hitler Channel. Me and Jim Floyd call the Hitler Channel, and what's called the History Channel. They had this series called Gangland. And that's why I see the old Liability Clueless, Mumps Nuts, you know, on the Ron Edwards one. But they had about the Aryan Brotherhood. And when it first got started in the 60s, early, you know, late 60s, early 70s, they used to be, you know, all the criminals in it, professing Christian identity, used to be white. They used to have, you know, they used to have white hair, and they used to have blue eyes. Now, the latest one from the, what, you know, from the late 90s or on, essentially, you know, I said, John, go ahead and look, and yeah, I'll give you a dollar if you can see any Aryan, you know, other than this one guy who's been kicked out because he got tired of the criminal silliness. I'll give you a dollar for every Aryan that you can find on, you know, this thing about the Aryan, you know, about the Aryan Brotherhood. And essentially all they are is just like on, you know, Ron Edwards' Clan of Mousers. Liar Bill and Ron Edwards were the only white guys in this, you know, so-called Ron Edwards Imperial Clans of America. They were all dark-eyed Anglo-Mestizo critters with cork eyes. Truett looks like he got a lot of Mestizo, and Truett's wife looks like she got a lot of Mestizo in her.
It wasn't big enough for me to really tell a lot of details, but in any event, it's 10 o'clock and I'm going to go to sleep.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you, but what you have, what I'm trying to point out is that you have a lot of Jews and Mamzers worming the wind Christian identity, and they're trying to change it. Would you agree with that, Russ?
Well, I disagree with you to the extent that you're saying that Compley was absolutely correct and everything he said should remain in stone forever.
Well, Jerry, I went ahead and I have disagreements with his interpretation of Daniel, but you got to understand he wrote that 40 years ago. You know what I mean? Things do change here. I'm not setting up Compere as a god. I'm just simply saying that he was the best teacher of Christian identity that I have seen. Okay?
Frank and Wigger says they're sadness of CLM. That's unfortunately true.
Oh, there's not sadness in CI land. I mean, shoot. I used to go ahead and stand up for Fink here, but I mean, ever since I figured out about Fink 11 months ago, well, yeah, 11 months ago, you know, figured out he was a lying crook here, and he'd been lying to me all along here, and, you know, he pulled a fast one on me, and just like a Jew, he thought he did very, I mean, but, the thing about it is ever since I knew Brian Rear was no damn good, I found out who he was, And then, pretty well, here's my Judas Mamzer, which went in, led me to Eli James, which led me to think.
And when I took that information on Brian Rio, sent it out to 30 or 40 people, there was no way he could ever get it back. He could threaten me, he could sue me, he could do whatever the hell he wanted to do. He could never get that information back.
Oh, he can't get back at all. These NIMBUSTERS, they've sort of taken a joke here about how it in Castle Frankenwigger, the evil maniac Frankenwigger got Puffy, Brian Reel's cat here, and he's torturing old Puffy here, you know, for Brian Reel's thing, and they have pictures of Brian Reel with penises and say, you know, charge of a nose. I mean, they have all sorts of parody, you know, Brian Reel pictures. I mean, there's lots of them out there. And essentially, Brian Reel has, essentially, the deluge has gotten too big for him to take everything down.
He can't do it.
He can't do it anymore.
Too much of the stuff with the people, private hard drives and everything else. Look, remember when I sent the information out from that law firm about Brian Reel? I sent like 30 people. There was no way in the world he'd get the information back.
Yeah, the LexisNexis thing, yeah. Well, that's
voting record, all kinds of nonsense, you know. And this is what burned his ass, baby. He really couldn't do it. There's nothing he could do about it.
Well, he's not threatening your Greek woman friend here with putting a spear through her head no more, is he?
Well, I haven't heard it, but he's a vicious animal. He hasn't changed.
He's a vicious mamzer animal. I think that he's a Jew golem is what I think he is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna go ahead and let you go.
Okay.
And we're going to take a small break, so hail victory, folks. Good night, Russ.
He had too damn many enemies, and they got on his back. That's the lesson he has learned.
Well, he's like old Steve Elder. What happens is that people are beginning to go ahead and triangulate on that worthless bastard, and essentially all he can do is threaten people. Yeah, you see him where he goes ahead and threatens you, he threatens me, he'll put the spear, he'll shoot us or whatever. And you go ahead and tell him, you know, look, you tard, you won't even give your name. You're such a big coward, and you're going to go ahead and threaten me?
Armies of Israel against Satan, and he's afraid to give his name out. Come on.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, he doesn't go ahead and say he's a proud pick no more.
What?
He doesn't say he's a proud pick no more.
Yeah.
Ever since I said is that the picks are, you know, Tubal-Kenite Jews here, you know. But anyway, I'm going to let you go, Russ. You have a good one, and hail victory. Okay, hail victory. Okay. Folks, we're going to go ahead and take about a five-minute break, and I've gotten about an hour worth from Russ, so hail victory. There was some dork named Al who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened judges three and two, he slapped old Al Cece. So Al's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves diggling fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is the M.M. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Mescuber little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lion rights. A mum, that niggling East molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester, not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. Okay, folks, we're back on the Movement Turd, number 89.5 of 29th September 2011. And I just got done in the first two segments talking to Russ Walker. And what I was trying to do is that I tried to go ahead and get Russ to somewhat agree with me. Unlike all these other little shows where you have yes tards, you know, no tards, three bags full of tards, essentially I don't insist that people agree with me. Now, some people said that I've tried to put Bertrand Comparé up on a pedestal, and I went ahead and looked at his talk about Daniel, and I have some disagreements with Bertrand Comparé. So, what to do? What to do? And the answer is that, well, I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it at all. So, that phone call was not for me. It was one of Roxy's friends. But getting on, what I've tried to do is what I'd like to point out is that what Butler did was actually, I believe, good for the Christian Identity Church, because what it did was it took the actual people, the family men, and rather than have them believe that they had a right to practice a Adamic Israelite real religion, it pretty well told them that because we have all these criminal idiots and mamzers and vermin and the rest here, if we say that we're Christian Identity, we're going to be lumped in with them. We're going to have our kids taken away. We're going to lose our jobs. Essentially, what we will do is we will just simply go underground. And if need be, what we'll do is we'll have a few families and we'll take them essentially with us. And if we're not going to have a mainline ministry, we're just simply going to have one of our own, one of the deacons, whatever, go ahead and become our pastor, and he's going to be like Paul of Tarsus. He is going to go ahead and work at his trade 6 days a week. He's going to go ahead and preach us Christian Identity sermon. And folks, I've been with the Worldwide Church of God. I've seen how it's splintered. I mean, it's splintered to, I think they're talking about 300 different splinter groups and about a dozen main factions. And if you want to go ahead and be abused, by Herbert's, nonsense, you can choose Gerald Fleury, or you can choose David Pack, or you can go ahead and choose whoever, and he will go ahead and he will ride you hard. But most of the cases, what they do is that once you no longer have high services to where they meet all along, pretty well, the first thing to go is usually the feast days. And I know from, experience, I no longer keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I no longer take the leaven out of my house. I drink on the Day of Atonement occasionally. In fact, I don't really know when the Day of Atonement is most of the time. And yes, I've admitted that, yes, I go ahead and occasionally, like once a month or something, have sausage, sausage biscuits and gravy or bacon. Now, I had bacon last week, but it was turkey bacon. and turkey bacon does not taste like real bacon. It doesn't taste really as good as real bacon either. But, folks, it's been a while since I had bacon. A couple months at least. I'm not talking about turkey bacon. But, folks, I've gone ahead and seen that. Now, to me, the main things about dual seed line Christian Identity is knowing who you are and keeping these mamzers and Jews and retards out. So what Butler did was actually for the best for the Christian Identity Church, even though, you know, some people like Pastor John Britton's father did not think very much of it, and you had arguments within their own family where Newman Britton thought that was just fine what Butler was doing. Trying to bring about the tribulation, bring about the revolution, bring about whatever. But instead of looking after the family church of Wesley Swiss Day by going ahead and bringing in this biker vermin, this prison vermin, what have you. But one thing I've noticed throughout my time, you know, certainly since I got out, is you have all these criminals who essentially were not very successful criminals, otherwise they would have, well, gotten into law or politics or the policeman, you know, police or whatever. Unsuccessful criminals who are simply criminals, they get caught, they get sent to prison, and then to tide their long hours over, they get Christian Identity stuff, usually from Mike Halamore or Lorraine Swift, and they get an AIT course at low prices, and what they do is they read it, and they believe that that's what Christian Identity is. And folks, it is very much the document, because most of it is Comparean in scope. Yes, it is the flesh, the skeletons. But in many cases, if it's not carried out by a real white man, he cannot understand what it is. He will go ahead and act like a Mamzer. He will go ahead and act like a Jew. He'll act like a Mamzer like Brian Real. And that's what gets me, is I've seen these pictures of Brian Real at Gerald Mosley's Bible study, and what they had is that here you have these characters, and they look like Anglo mestizos themselves. They don't have blue eyes, and they're still keeping, it looks like, a distance from, you know, from Brian Real, except for this one character who's a bald-headed looking faggot who looks like he's going to have an aviance night with, you know, a little sword manzer.
Put it on. Aviance night must. Aviance Night Musk. Introducing Aviance Night Musk. Put it on and have an Aviance night.
In most cases, what you have is that you have a tolerance of Mamzers. In some cases, they go ahead and they end up taking over, like Jeremy Visser, like, you know, like Mumps, Nuts, Liability, Clueless, like Ober Genderbender. And they want to tell the white man what to do. They're like the Pharisees who came in, who had no part in the Levitical priesthood, but yet they created their traditions of men and acted like their horseshit meant something, and Jesus Christ just pretty well walked all over them. He didn't pay a bit of attention. He went ahead, him and his disciples were in a wheat field, or a barley field. It says a corn field, but it wasn't American corn. It was, well, corn kernels of the type, wheat or rye or barley. And what they did on the Sabbath was they went ahead and picked up handfuls of the grains, you know, that was left at the corners here for gleaning for the poor or for the traveler. And they didn't bake it. What they did is that they rubbed the husks, they sent off the chaff, you know, they blew probably on it here. And what they did is that they ate of these grains in their mouth. Chewed on it and swallowed it. And the Pharisees gave Jesus Christ a hard time. And he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So when I hear someone like Finkelschini saying that man was, you know, Adam was created for the creation, not the creation for Adam, and that's why he comes up with a dislike for the orthodoxy, well, that tells me that, you know, he's a Jew, that he has the same Talmudic view of things here. But looking at this here, I took a picture from Galette's video that he'd posted here on Sunday night. I took a picture of it. And the three characters, on the left here, especially one of them, looks like they're niggers. Looks like they're high yellers. And this old guy here, I mean, shit, this other one, she's pretty dark. She's a pretty dark woman herself. I see David, I see Alan Truitt. He's big and fat. One of the taller people. He's probably an inch or so smaller, less tall than I am. A lot bigger and fatter than I am. But he has brown eyes. So I see these characters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Somebody had to take the picture. So who was it that took the picture? So I don't believe you had over 17, 18, maybe 20 people there, counting the ones, so-called infiltrators, who got kicked out. And now over on Ashkenazi Asswife's blog, what I read is that some of these people have been kicked out too. And Gillette has pulled his video. Underneath it, I see a picture. I see a picture, like I say, to show how Gillette's new Air Nations, is now racially progressive and shit, look at our crack high yeller Nation of Islam auxiliaries on the left. Now, folks, you have somebody like that who looks like they could belong in a Nation of Islam shirt, an Aryan Nation thing here? It's ridiculous. Underneath there, I have a picture of Eli James. I call him a little kosher rabbi, cook. But Moskowitz has taken down that video. He's taken down that video. Let me go over to a client here so they can go ahead and see what I'm talking about. So, Math 1488, don't invite JT Reddy. Do not invite Steve Elder. Do not invite any of the, Do not invite anybody who's over on Harold Covington's, don't invite anybody over on Harold Covington's, over on his Facebook page, okay? Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and show that Gillette has taken down, where was it? I don't know if I see it anymore. Nope, it's not there. Let me go ahead and look for something. Sword of Truth, Yoohoo channel here, folks. It says, Aryan Nations World Congress 2011, this video has been removed by the user, i.e. it's been removed by Gillette. He didn't like me going ahead and mining it. He did not like me going ahead and mining it. For those pictures of Eli James as a kosher Iron Chef cook. And let's see if Ashkenazi Asswipe is going ahead and put any of this stuff up here. Yes, he did go ahead and put it up. Pastor Martin Luther Dzinski Livstead, episode number 89.5, Mullis Elias Aryan Nations Weekend Mamzerathon. So, he did go ahead and put it up, which is good. Let me go ahead and look at the original post here. So, what you end up having is that you essentially have Moskowitz taking down his own YouTube video because it shows who was there. And it looks like some of those people who were there, who were Aryan Nations in good standing, why, they don't look quite to a lot of people. What's even worse here is that they're not scattered here. They're sort of over at the left here, as if even Gillette knows they're sort of racially iffy. And here he is bringing them in, into the church. Well, Gillette has never given a crap. Gillette has never given a crap about not bringing mamzers in. So you got to understand with criminals, since niggers pretty well run the joint in many cases, you can't call them fucking niggers, either in nut houses or really prisons. But you stick with your own kind, but you still, you're not really allowed to call them fucking niggers. In many cases, niggers end up having the cocaine, the whatever, the drugs. And it's usually brought in by crooked guards, although sometimes brought in by visitors. And you have these rackets to where, hey, you know, the pigs are involved, the guards are involved. But in many cases, I've seen, just like with Aryan Brotherhoods, you know, like I told John Britton, give you a dollar if outside the founding members there's any of these Aryans left anymore. And I've seen these, quote, Aryan, you know, Aryan Brotherhood pictures, and essentially it's pictures of cork-eyed mamzers. Blonde, blue-eyed, you know, blonde, blue-eyed Aryans, rare, rare as can be. Well, that's the same way, is that you have Eli James, you have Finkelschini, bringing in their own little pet mamzers, and that's pretty well what Wikipedia, you know, talks to you Christian identity is. It's just, oh, about the same group. You have about, on each side, with Eli James, you have the same loyal, you know, five or six loyal mamzers, and then you'll have your wandering flock here, which goes from Eli to Finkelschini, from Eli to Finkelschini, and then goes over maybe with a side, you know, with a side group. Like last night, you had a Finkelschini. Go ahead and peddle his stuff here. Mark III, or whatever. And you had McFag, who's an Elier, because Finkelschini ridiculed him and would allow him to run wild, over on Dan Johns. And folks, I have to laugh, because here's Truett coming in. He's flogging his Aryan Nations video, and old Dan Johns isn't having any of it. He's saying, well, I don't like Morris Gillette here. Well, no, he didn't. Because August Christ, but Morris Gillette's cokehead friend at the time, Bradley Jenkins, wanted to whip Dan Johns' ass because they thought he was a Jew from Jew Jersey. They wanted to whip his Jew ass. Here comes Eli James, and essentially Eli James at least is not a coward. He's a moral coward, but he's not a physical coward. And essentially these guys backed off for a while in time to not have an ass whooping. But this last month has been disastrous for Eli James. This last year has been disastrous for Eli James. He's been pretending to be Christian James for 25 years, and hey, during the last year, kicked out of the Klan, you know, by Ray Larson, kicked out of the Klan, you know, found to essentially be a Sephardic Jew, fought with by me, and in turn went ahead along with Brian Reel, took down a number of my web pages. Well, Dan Johns, he's not, you know, he hasn't got the word out is that Morris Gillette is one of them. So, therefore, let's not talk bad about Morris Gillette. I mean, Dan Johns doesn't like Morris Gillette. And that's pretty well what he said last night's his little show, which was an hour early. At the end, old McFag and Joseph Pennsylvania showed up just as old, you know, just as it was going through the last 15 minutes or so of the show. And, oh, by the way, I wasn't paying attention, so I lost the first 2 minutes of Survivor. But in any case, I like studying mamzers here, you know, in a controlled setting. Survivor is a controlled setting. Okay? But, I don't know. You gotta wonder here. You go in the back and you sort of see what looks like cheese on top of meatloaf or something like that in the back here. Now, suppose this is a bag of potatoes that he is peeling. And they mentioned that in their little Aryan Nations report on Sunday night. Oh, it's just like being in the Army, old Eli James said. Well, I thought Eli James was an officer. Since when do officers peel potatoes? Maybe he was just the kosher cook back then. Who knows? You know, in Vietnam. No. Ozark Hillbilly, I think, is none other than Seth Griffin. He was Ozark Mountain Rump Ranger. I went ahead and, created a, joke about him on my webpage. So, Victor Switzer is around, Pine Bluff. He's a Finkelschini right now here. Ozark Hillbilly is Seth Griffin, or he was Seth Griffin, so I think it's not that here. Okay? Okay. Well, Matt 1488, I don't want you to get in trouble. Don't say a word. Do not say a word about the movement turd Facebook over on Covington's. Pretty well Jet and John. Jet and John. I'm not sure if old Jet's a Mamzer or Mike John is a Mamzer. How I went ahead and found that is that I went ahead and created a Facebook. I went ahead and created a Facebook persona and pretty well made friends with McFag, the Tantric Flyer, Jet and John, Alan Truitt, and folks, I mean, I've had a long time of internet spying. I have four computers, and every computer might have four browsers. Well, not the old gateway; it only has two. It only has Firefox and Internet Nut Exploder. But every computer, and not all of them here. Some of them I don't put Safari. Some of them I don't put, the Apple Safari thing. And others I don't put Opera on. On my Toshiba number one, I have, four different emails. I used to play Mafia Wars. I have not had time for 6-7 months to play Mafia Wars. And folks, I went ahead and befriended Alan Truitt, and folks, Alan Truitt went ahead and showed me Gillette's little thing here. But, folks, Tom Connington, this is what gets me, is that old Jet referred to Tom Cunningham as a WASP, as a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, sock puppet or, face man or something like that here. As if Chet doesn't think he's altogether white himself here. He's using Tom Connington. Okay? Anyway. Yes, I mean, folks, go ahead and do pretty good here. It looks like old Ashkenazi asswipe has let me go ahead and talk about what ails Gillette's church. What ails Gillette's church? Is that Gillette, when he ran by himself, he was kicked out of Aryan Nations by Ray Redfern, and he was not let back into Aryan Nations by Pastor Richard Butler's request. Pastor Richard Butler said, hey, look, can't trust him. He's very much a loose cannon. You cannot trust him. He just essentially is just a drunken crackhead. And folks, in 2005, when he was head, Butler was dead, now that Ray Redfern was dead, he had a free hand. I mean, that's how I initially met Gillette, that's how I initially met John, Pastor John Britton. John Britton, after Butler died, There was dissension as to who should be the new head of the above ground church. And Billy Roper supported Rick Spring, who was essentially nothing more than a bank robber who got caught. If you go ahead and look what Gillette had to say about Rick Spring circa 2004, 2003, 2004, and then you go ahead and apply the same standard to Gillette, Gillette looks like a total hypocrite. Because here's Rick Spring. He got caught. Sent 14 years. He only served six of them. He was in, out, in, out, in, out as a paroler. And then his wife and him show up at Butler's, what's left with Butler's, house. And people are sending $25 memberships to get into the Aryan Nations and $10 a month. And people are wondering, how come the names of these members who want to join, how come they're members, how come these members' names, how much money is sent in, how come that is being published on the Southern Poverty Law Center and, Daryl Lamont, Nigger Jenkins, One People's Project, how come that's being printed up there? Answer. Is it Rick Spring and his wife would go ahead, just take the thing off, make a copy of it, and then send it off via email or whatever to the Southern Poverty Law Center and the One People's Project. That's how it happened. And later on, when this couple had divorced, she went in and said, is that Rick Spring is a federal informant? And in 2007, Rick Spring admitted to Billy Roper that he was a federal informant. Now, why I sort of like Billy Roper, although a lot of people do not, and this is why I find it sort of strange, is that Gillette went ahead and made peace with Billy Roper. And I'll go ahead and look at Billy Roper's talk later on. I'm disappointed that Billy Roper went down to Gillette's. Folks, Gillette is not Christian Day. Gillette is just a crackhead informer, is all he is. Me and Pastor John Britton saved Gillette's church. Pastor John Britton saved it by simply taking it over in December 2005 and giving it back to Butler or Gillette in January 2010 when he got out of prison. He was supposed to be in a halfway house, and essentially when he was in a halfway house, he cut off all ties to John Britton, to this old guy who pretty well maintained the requirements for the Harold Grooms estate. He just pretty well cut off. And from what I gather, you go ahead and you look at the arrangements for the Aryan Nations. Essentially, that is the arrangements which is set up by somebody on a budget, but a budget which has gone ahead and been paid out to pay for that holding. The flags, the accoutrements. Now, I went ahead and looked at Gillette's opening ceremonies, and essentially, Gillette had to read from a piece of paper what he sort of remembered what Butler did at his Aryan Nations Congress. Essentially, this is just talking Wikipedia CI. You get a Brian Lear, do the same damn thing. Now, folks, one of the things about our movement is saying this tribe is so-and-so, and this tribe is so-and-so, and this tribe is so-and-so, and I sort of don't get involved in doing that sort of stupid crap. I mean, used to hear it. I mean, it dates from, what's his name? David Hine. It dates from the Worldwide Church of God. It dates from, British Israelitism. And everybody likes playing that little game, except me. I don't much care for it. As I look at it, people lost their identity as being Israelites. Why wouldn't they lose their identity as being a particular tribe? But on the other hand, I do believe that during the migrations that kin, even to the rank of about second or third cousins, did tend to move together. A nation is really nothing more than an overgrown tribe. and a tribe is nothing more than an overgrown family. So I do believe that there probably still are. Well, we're not talking about pure Reubenites. We're not talking about pure Benjamites. We're talking about a good deal of intermixture to where if, you know, the United States is the tribe of Manasseh, how come you had a bunch, according to Gallet, of the tribe of Asher, which were the Swedes, go ahead and mix with the tribe of Judah, which are the Germans? And the answer is that you had intermixture between the tribes when they come to America. A lot of them. And, you know, folks, I've been in Christian identity since I was 10. So I've been in Christian identity for 43 years. And as a result, I have an advantage that these criminals who certainly learned Christian identity when they were in prison and essentially view Christian identity as an excuse to engage in criminal behavior on the grounds, well, I'm an Israelite, I'm an Aryan, I can go ahead and do whatever the hell I want to against this evil empire. And folks, I do agree with that. But on the other hand, I don't believe that, I mean, the criminal element, like Gallet, goes ahead and lets in all manner of mamzers. And these mamzers, they go ahead and then they got to pretend to be Christian identity and white power and all this sort of thing. It follows what I call Friends' First Law of white nationalism, in that as you have more and more mamzers coming in, they're going to go ahead and take over for Christian identity. Okay? So, I don't have a problem with Chet and John. But on the other hand, I'm certainly not going to go ahead and bring them into my church. Okay? Certainly not. Well, fine by me. Frank and Hager went ahead and suggested I befriend Mo Gullett here as Pastor Lindstedt. No. No, I don't think so, Frank and Hager. I don't think that's going to happen. So, folks, I don't mind. I don't mind if, you know, some of the listeners go ahead and befriend, you know, some of these people who need to keep an eye on, because, hey, I'm doing it myself. I am myself going ahead and using, well, an alias on Fedbook to go ahead and befriend them and then look at the profile pictures. Now, I got that picture of Truett through Mo Gullett's video, and yes, it went ahead and got taken down. I think I'm going to go ahead and read what I meant to go ahead and say on my program. But what you have is that is inadvertently hilarious when you see the Zogbot criminal element so ridiculously stupid and ignorant of genuine dual seed line Christian identity that when they hold an Aryan Nations Congress and the Anglo mestizos like the former Tex Kid and Kunas, Zogling Wigger and Mamzer Assclouds, Asian provocateurs like Allen, Anglo mestizo Truett, and Mogul are so fucking stupid they show what looks like the, you know, to the genuine deep woods Christian identity long-term believer was obviously a bunch of high yellow niggers and beaners in Aryan Nations uniform and a Chicago Sephardic Jew cooking up a mess of Purim Fest and Passover matzo balls in their videos. Expect us not to laugh at the idiocy which negates whatever lies they tell. And folks, I can go ahead and show these two pictures. Well, folks, Gallet obviously and Truett have obviously gone ahead and figured out what video I took those pictures from. And folks, I did go ahead and save it on KeepVid. So they're not safe now. I went ahead and saved about four or five pictures. But I took the two that I thought were the most obvious. Here you have a Jew cooking up and, you know, like Poopy Dog was saying, it looks like they have some cheese on top of a meat dish back on the grill. So old Eli James is not going ahead and going full kosher. But I think Eli James is what's called a Marino, a Marino Jew. He's a Jew whose Sephardic Jew relatives converted to Roman Catholicism, or ostensibly converted to it, in order to stay in Spain. To stay, you know, pretty well among their parasites, rather than go ahead and risk moving to an Arab land, becoming the Yemeni Jews or the Iraqi Jews or whatever Jews. They're the Sephardic Jews. And that's what Eli James did. His family did. Now Finkelshiny, total evil Hittite Ashkenazi Jew. And he acts accordingly. He does act accordingly. But I took those two pictures, and it looked like these people understood. Once you wait there, these people understood that it would not look good for them to, it would not look good for those people to be shown for what they are. So they went ahead and put them in the corner. But one or two of them looked like obvious niggers, and the third, why, you know, I don't, you know, you look at him and look at him and look at him, he's in the same relation that Eli James was a year ago. You look at him and I don't think he's white. Okay? Now, this policy of letting in criminals started with Butler in 1972. When Butler went ahead and changed it to where no more family men, we're going to go ahead and start the revolution before it's time by letting in all these criminals, they would go ahead and send out the message in print form to these prisons. And Pastor John Britton has told me several times at these Aryan Nation Congresses where essentially he would tell this scum, this criminal scum, Sci-Fi Faber and the rest here, you sit in the middle or you sit in the back, you cover up your tattoos, there's not going to be any clownery here. You're not going to go ahead and gawk at the women. You're going to sit down. You're going to behave yourself. If you can't sit down and behave yourself, you just go outside. Don't come in for the next hour or so because we are conducting a church service here. If you don't know how to behave and you don't want to behave, you stay out. If you want to behave, you sit down, you shut up, you cover up your tattoos as best you can, and you sit here and you listen, you learn. And John Britton's father used to be Wesley Swift's prison minister, and he knew what criminals were like, and he didn't have much use for them. Several times he'd say, Dick, why are you have this skinhead rabble around you? He was not overpressed by these characters. And I've seen creatures like Brian Wright go in and claim, Gorette said that you had to have an AIT course. I have an AIT course. I got a letter from Lorraine Swift, and then what does he do? Later on, in July 5th, after he's been kicked off for a second or third time from Visser's debulking form, you know, the version 3.8.1 version, he goes ahead and says that Wesley Swift was a Mamzer. Lorraine Swift married a Mamzer and her children are Mamzers. That shows how much class that a criminal has, like Brian Wright. And guess what? Gillette goes ahead and ordains him and puts him on the board of directors. And then I have to go ahead and fight to make sure that that bastard does not steal the trust fund. And him and Visser pretend otherwise. Visser is all mad because, hell, he's a Mamzer. He's trying to get back in Christian identity and nobody is paying attention to him. And there's some character named Tom Scabdates who has been pretty well revealing all this stuff that's going on in the Christian world, and now the NNF tards know that Visser has a niglet niece. They know that his brother, Sean Aaron Visser, has married, you know, an Anglo-Mestizo beaner, has married a Mexican beaner, who in turn had a nigger boyfriend or husband, and that, you know, that essentially Visser has a nigger on Facebook who calls himself Jasmine Jacko, or Jacko Jasmine. I think it's Jasmine Jacko. Folks, Visser has a niglet niece, but Visser has nieces who are of his blood, who are beaners. I gave Visser the chance, and that's what, you know, that's what William B. was talking about last week, is all of Visser's lies. Well, Visser does nothing but lie. And guess what? Gillette went ahead and ordained Visser. Here's Visser going ahead and saying Gillette, or saying that Wesley Swift and Pastor Butler were mamzers, but yet he claims to be ordained from that line. Well, no. No, monkey boy. It don't work that way. See, if all these mamzers that have come in, they show up, none of them have been taught Christian identity. Not at Herbert's church, certainly not at Wesley Swift's church. And folks, they don't know how to behave. Even if they're like Bill Fink, who now you go ahead and read his newsletter, why, and you know that he's a liar, you know he's a Jew, and so you have better things to do than essentially listen to a lying Jew. But yeah, he has in many cases Wikipedia CI as spoken on Talks to you just down pat. But folks, he went ahead and pretended to be something that he was not. And then it got revealed that he was just simply a killer. He was just simply a pig. He'll lie to you. He'll lie to your face without a bit of remorse. And folks, none of these people know. Well, they don't know who Simon Magus was. Well, Russ didn't know who Simon Magus was. Well, in a different movement turd, Russ admitted that as a young man, for 25 years, he was with the Mormon Church. He sort of seen through, eventually, the Mormon Church's ideology. Mary Patricia. She wanted her Sumerian input, so she went ahead and she's pretty well blown off Christian identity. It didn't stick with her forever, now did it? So that's what you have, is that you have a lot of, written Christian identity. But folks, giving it to a mamzer is like essentially going ahead and training my little puppy dog to shit on a newspaper. Just because he's trained to shit on a newspaper doesn't mean that he understands what's written on that newspaper, even if he's shitting on it. Well, that's what going ahead and bringing a mamzer, a Jew. Now, a Jew is different from a mamzer. A Jew understands the nature of good and evil, but the Jew was born evil. The Jew was born to disrupt Christian identity. So whenever you have a Jew within Christian identity, even if he's talking about Christian identity, even if he's going ahead and quoting the Bible and doing a very good job of it, he will understand Christian identity far more than a mamzer will. But that's what, you know, that's what, I mean, this Alan Truitt, He's exactly what I expected him to be. He is a dark-eyed, you know, brown-eyed. And I think he got mamzer in him. His wife is even more mamzer in him. And she was just all lovey-dovey with Eli James. It looks like the same woman in this NSM video up, you know, West Dallas, Milwaukee. Folks, I have a question. Where does Eli James get the money to go from Chicago to, you know, to Louisiana? Where does he get the money to go ahead and attend all these little things? It's sort of like the 60-minute thing. Where did Jeff Hall, if he's been unemployed for a number of years, Where do you get the money to go to NSM meeting in, what, Illinois or Trenton or wherever they held their meeting? Where does he get the money to do that? Who's paying for this sort of thing? Now, folks, if I ever decide to hold an Aryan Nations Congress of my faction, folks, it would be via computer. It would be a conference call. It would be via Skype. And essentially what would do involve is a video camera or Pamela or whatever recording whoever's talking on Skype giving a sermon. And then from then it would be go ahead and cut to DVD so that people could go ahead and look, or to YouTube, or to whatever. That is how any of my, quote, Aryan Nations Congress, who would not involve getting a bunch of people and then having to deal with infiltrators and 30 pigs coming in to rescue the whoever. I mean, this Aryan Nations thing was just a manzathon. That's all it was. It was a freak show. Gillette never caring about the quality of his organization. You know, why should he? He's not quality people himself. He's just simply a probably reformed, dry, drunken crackhead. Just like George Bush was a, you know, or W was a, quote, reformed, dry drunkard. A dry cokehead. But far more, you know, far more resources than Morris Gillette would ever have. I went ahead and looked at Gillette. He's looking thin. He's looking old. He's pretty well, in many cases, you see, is he's made so many compromises. He's made so many bad choices. But, you know, Gillette has never understood the Christian identity way at all. And he can't. Folks, I think it's possible. I think it's possible if you're a criminal to go ahead and get Jesus. I think it is, you know, theoretically possible to go ahead and change. But folks, if you're going ahead and, you know, claiming Christian identity and for the white race and all this sort of thing, running around in uniform, declaring yourself a leader, going ahead and going along with the SPLC and the rest here as claiming to be the leader, folks, the SPLC and ADL have always tried to go ahead and put their thumb on the scale as to who is the leader of Christian identity. Now, folks, I claim to be the political leader of the underground church of Christian identity. Not the spiritual leader, but the political leader. And what I tell you folks to do is this is not the time to rise up and destroy Zog. Certainly not when Zog is doing such a good job of himself here. Folks, on this show, I've urged you, don't do this stupid shit. I don't have anything against some of you denouncing me in order to go ahead and spy, to keep an eye on people who need to be kept an eye on. Of course, I'm spying on them myself. But I've urged people, don't do stupid shit. Don't talk about killing anybody, no matter how big your frustrations get. Don't talk stupid shit. What you need to do is, like Harold Covington says, is use, to a degree, a Salpian language. And then say, well, hey, you know, you don't say that a certain judge needs to die, a certain legislator needs to die, a certain pig needs to die. You understand is that, hey, they're all evil. They all need to die. But you don't talk about doing it yourself. You talk about how the Great Tribulation will go ahead and harvest both the wheat and the tares. This is not a show dedicated to inciting people to violence. It's, in fact, a show which is dedicated to telling people to very much stay underground, If you are being persecuted, keep your mouth shut. Know who your enemy is and resolve in the day when the time comes to add your vengeance on the regime criminal family, anybody who goes in support these regime criminals. But for now, folks, we are a conquered people. We are being destroyed. We are being deliberately run down and shoot to where there's no more options here, and the only thing that remains to be done is to survive what is coming now. And that's why I've always urged people, the very first thing to do is to first make sure you are right with Yahweh. Second thing is to make sure that your family is taken care of, because someone who will not take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. And thirdly and lastly, worry about your local community in which you live and know who are the wheat and who are the tares. Who are just simply the wiggers who have some good spots, and who are simply treasonous wiggers who have absolutely no redeeming qualities, and who the Mamzers and Jews are who ditto. You don't even have to go ahead and determine their fruits, because essentially there's no such thing as a good Jew. You know, not even a dead Jew is a good Jew. He's just a dead Jew. You know, like the Russians say about a Jew which goes ahead and gets baptized and adopts the pretense of Christianity. They call a baptized Jew a wet Jew. Folks, because that's their nature. They're evil. Folks, this clown fest was simply an embarrassment. Nothing more than embarrassment. And it wasn't until I took pictures of that embarrassing, idiotic clown, Mamzerthon of Morskelets, that Morskelet took down the video. At least Morskelet, you know, shows that Morskelet does read my forum, does read my webpage. He knew he did not go ahead and match what he pretended to be. He knew he didn't pass muster. He knew so well that essentially he was just nothing more than just a clown. And so he took down his forum. And folks, that's what you see in this bowel movement. That's why I call the movement third. Folks, I'm not saying that you cannot understand Christian identity if you weren't in it as a child here. But you do need to understand is that there are people... Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take another break. Slap the puppy dog down. Bandage the wife's leg, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes. Hail victory. Like a poker, boys, is gonna make you wind up dead. That's what this little beaner faggot, Brian Rio's daddy, said. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her gayest one, it seems. She sold her snatch for taco meat so you could live your dream. Brian was a beaner boy who liked to take it in the rear, and even folks from Billy Roper realized that it was queer. Dickie Barrett took it in spite of its mestizo skin. After he kicked that beaner out, some nigger did Dickie in. Even folks from skinhead say sword Mamzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep him far away.
from any normal white folks. Eli was playing games, trying to bring that beaner in. He called in late one Halloween. A cyber shitstorm soon began. Eli met his match, you know, in a hovel down in Grand BMO. And on the turd his screech was heard. Now everybody knows. Even from front skinheads say, sword mamzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep real far away from any normal folks. Now Brian ought to give it up. Go back to sucking nigger dick. He ought to know the jig is up. We're fed up with that beaner prick. Soon that dirty beaner snitch may end up being Leroy's prison bitch and dying in a lonely cell of AIDS before it burns in hell. Even the front skinheads say Brian Rio's fucking gay. They ought to keep it far away from any normal white folks. Even the front skinheads say sword mamzer's fucking gay, but Dickie Barrett let him slip away out of blindness, I suppose.
The Ballad of Irving. He was short and fat and rode out of the west with a Mogan David on his silver vest. He was mean and nasty right clear through, which was kind of weird because he was yellow too. They called him Irving. Big Irving. Dick Short Irving. Dick Short Pat Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. He came from the old bar mitzvah spread with a 10-gallon yarmulke on his head. He always followed his mother's wishes. Even on the range he used two sets of dishes. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Sissy Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Irving. 141 could draw faster than he, but Irving was looking for 143. Walked in a Saul saloon like a man insane and ordered three fingers of Toot Spence Plain. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Sport Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. One day, Bad Max happened in the town. His aim was to shoot that Irving down. Bad Max said, draw and draw right now. And Irving drew a picture of a cow. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Gunfighter Irving. the 142nd fastest gun in the West. The James boys is coming on a train of first son, and the town said, Irving, we need your gun. When that train pulled in at the break of dawn, Irving's gun was there, but Irving was gone. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big help Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Well, finally, Irving got three slugs in the belly. It was right outside the Frontier Deli. He was sitting there twirling his gun around, and Butterfingers Irving gunned himself down. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big dum-dum Irving. Big dum-dum dead Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West.
Really?
This segment's going to last about 30 minutes, maybe 45 or so. And I'm going to go ahead and finish off about the Aryan Nations, or so-called Aryan Nations Congress run by Morris Gallant. I'm going to go ahead and go to this JT Reddy, who I think is a Zogbot for the NFM. The NFM has really gotten a lot of hammering this last week. So I'm going to go ahead and cover what ended up happening on 60 Minutes in the end result. But folks, I think JT Reddy is a Asian provocateur. In fact, I'm very sure of it. And I'm going to go ahead and cover it, but I'm going to go ahead and finish off with this Aryan Nations Congress. Now, folks, Gallant has no idea of how to act like a Christian identity minister. He's altogether undisciplined. He's altogether just a drunken fool. Now, I went ahead and saved his trust fund. Now, he might have been able to go ahead and get it back. But here in the, around early, you know, late July, early August of 2009, here was Brian Wright on Jeremy Visser's forum for the fourth or fifth time. He'd been kicked off. First time he was kicked off was in December of 2008 after he called me a child molester and all this sort of thing, accused me of everything that he was already doing, of being a thief. And essentially, John Britton went ahead and showed the picture of the slant-eyed gook Manzer. And guess what? Gallant ordained that piece of shit, put him on the Board of Ministers. So here is Jeremy Visser. He's also on the freaking Board of Ministers. Just a lying Manzer. We've already covered to where I thought Visser was a Manzer just based upon what his fellow criminal Manzer was doing, Brian Wright. And the first time was on July 5th after he'd been kicked off for the third time. The second time on his Z-Bulletin forum. First time he ran off because John Britton showed a picture of him. Here he was, this slant-eyed Manzer glory. Looking like the chunky cheese rat, and also looking like a Hittite prince here. You know, he had one in stone. So Gallant goes ahead and ordains these Manzers. He don't have a big problem ordaining Manzers and criminals. If you're a Manzer and a criminal, Morris Gallant will ordain you in his version here. I think Morris Gallant is white, but he's just a criminal who doesn't know how to behave. And so that's what he did. I knew full well, just listening to this Alan Truitt, that here was another hardcore Anglo-Mestizo criminal waiting to talk about the glories of Wikipedia and Talks to Christian Identity. Now, Truitt looks like he has a good deal more white and a lot less Manzer than Jeremy Visser and Brian Wright. But folks, I've seen this kind that comes, it goes, it gets caught, it gets run off. And just before this thing, here you had old, what's that his name, Paul Mullett, goes ahead and comes crawling back. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, he is claiming that Morris Gillette was a $6,000 a month Asian provocateur. And here he is, another criminal, wanted to play Chris Sardini, and Gillette goes ahead and ordains him. And folks, you end up having this to where criminals get along, and then they don't get along, and then they get along, and then they don't get along. And now you have Mullet running around, and now instead of Mullets and Goats, and then Goats and Mullets separate, now you have Goats and Mullets here. Not Mullets and Goats, because he's a junior part. You have Billy Roper. Hey, my girlfriend's Christian Day. I want to be Christian Day. Here he is going with Mullets Gillette here. Another a criminal. Now, Billy Roper ain't a criminal. I don't see why he's doing this stupid shit. I was hoping that he wouldn't be down there. He would stick with Tom Robb, and Tom Robb isn't dual seed line. He's one seed line. He's more of a businessman than anything. You know, of course, I don't know the length of his, you know, of his faith. That's not for me to go ahead and judge Tom Robb. But I was hoping that Tom Robb would, you know, ask him not to go down to Gillette's thingamajig. But he did. And maybe he promised before that. And I probably should have... Well, I wasn't going to go ahead and tell Billy Roper what Billy Roper can and cannot do, because that is not my job. I can go ahead and say what you should do, but I can't tell you to do anything. I'm not running any movement toward where essentially I tell people what to do and they listen. They obey. I go ahead and suggest what they need to do. I suggest, you know, what Christian identity is. I suggest how you're supposed to behave. But mainly, my function within that is to go ahead and warn onlookers, when I see Mamzers and Jews and the rest getting into this movement of ours, this bowel movement of ours, and doing stupid shit. And when Wiggers do stupid shit, I chew on their Wigger ass too. But it's not my job to tell people what to do, grown men what to do. So, what you do is you sit back and you just look at the train wreck and you analyze the train wreck. And it looks like Gillette has gone ahead and looked at my page and figured out how far he's gone, how ridiculous he looks to a genuine Christian identity believer. A genuine Christian identity believer will not invite niggers into the congregation, and certainly not invite Jews into the congregation. Folks, I would not eat anything that a Jew fed me, because I would be scared that Jew would try to be feeding me something like matzo balls made from the blood of Christian Israelite men for Purim Fest, or baby white kid blood for Passover. I would not go ahead and eat anything. I would rather eat rat poison than eat anything that a Jew provides me. One time I was at a synagogue for world religions class, I tried to tell these stupid Quaker Baptists not to eat anything that a Jew provides, because Jews like poisoning, the Israelites. You see, this is what one of the founders of the Roman Catholic Church, or the cult of Cybele, King Hantali, known in Greek mythology as Tantalus. Tantalus went ahead and fed. He went ahead and fed this man, his kid, you know, not a goat, but his own child. Fed this man his child here, and he tried to get fool the gods into eating, you know, according to legend, trying to feed the gods of Olympus human flesh. And they knew what it was. And so they condemned Tantalus to be tantalized. They would go ahead and they would chain him up in Hades, and every time he was thirsty, the water would flow away from his mouth. And every time he was hungry, these trees with the most delicious fruit would go ahead and move away from his hand. So he'd be tortured by hunger and thirst forevermore for trying to feed the gods of Olympus human flesh. He fed to that father the flesh of his own son. Well, guess what? King Hantali, you know, King Tantalus was actually Hantali, the Hittite of the old Hittite Empire. That's where the legend comes from. One of the founders of the Baal Nimrodian cult, the Sibylle, which became the Roman Catholic Church. And folks, that's what Jews, you know, I mean, folks, Jews, you know, like I say, Quakers have not changed their nature. Well, Jews have not changed their nature. They were born evil from Cain. No such thing as a good Jew. Now, occasionally you can go ahead and let Jews run wild here and look at what they do, but you don't trust a Jew. You don't put your life in a Jew's hands. That's why I go ahead and make fun of McFag here. I love making fun of McFag because McFag's an idiot. He's also a part Jew. He's a, you know, he's a Tubal Kenite, Pictish Jew Manzer. So folks, the last thing I would do, I mean, I'd just rather eat just my rat poison right out of the fucking box here rather than let a Jew like Eli James cook me anything. No. You don't eat anything prepared by a Jew. So, here is Galette. He goes ahead and sees what I wrote on my forum. Essentially, he takes down that video. He was so proud of that video, and then he goes ahead and sees what I've taken from it. Oh, no, that ain't what it is, though. The camera didn't lie. Camera goes ahead and looks like got a bunch of high yellow niggers here from the Nation of Islam. You know, an Aryan Nation's uniform. It looks like you got Jew, you know, kosher cook, cooking your food. Although, it doesn't look, you know, looking at what I've seen here, it looked like he's not a very observant Marino Chicago Sephardic Jew. You know, he's having cheese on top of it, whatever the heck he's cooking here. Yeah. Supposed to use two plates, Jew boy. Anyway. That's one thing you'll never see here. That's why I challenge Eli James and Finkelstein any day to a bacon cheeseburger eating contest. Okay? Anyway, I had to plug in my phone, cell phone, because it was going beep beep here. Let's see. I'm still on. Okay. Well, all our food's handled by the unclean, and beaners are unclean too here. Well, you don't even have to do a major crime to do time like that in Texas here. I mean, you could just be a perpetual criminal. Essentially, Truett strikes me as essentially just a perpetual criminal. Just a protection, you know, and I've seen this sort of character playing Christian Identity. You had this Obadiah character who was Sphinx Obadiah, not the gender bender Pinsir Pookter possum. And the character was so happy. The character was so happy to go ahead and be sent back to prison. He lived half his life in prison. That's all it knew was prison. But went ahead and it had the first Church of Jesus Christ Christian Congress since the death of Pastor Richard Butler. Well, bullshit. Bullshit. If Jesus Christ was not in a South Carolina jail cell with, you know, if Jesus Christ had both his, you know, had both his legs and all his feet and was in a South Carolina prison cell, he would dispute with Galette that Galette has run the first Aryan Nations Congress, you know, since Butler died. From what I gather, August Christ used to hang around Lawrence, South Carolina, to the redneck shop, owned by a nigger, selling t-shirts, holding their pretend Aryan Nations Congresses every year. So don't give me that crap, Galette. I mean, at least when, you know, August Christ was going ahead and selling
selling Aryan Nation ship, you know, memberships to creatards and sand niggers, and anybody who give them $25 is at least August Cross had the honesty to not go ahead and pretend that he was following the ways of dual seed line Christian identity anymore. August Cross, for all his moochiness here and all for assertiveness, at least had the decency to know that, you know, him selling Aryan Nation memberships wasn't Christian identity at its finest. And so he didn't pretend otherwise. Gillette does. So, it said that there was a, you know, there was two of these characters show up. They pressed the panic button when some tard went ahead and accused them of being pigs. And I don't know if these people are even in that picture. But folks, if they were, they were probably the white ones. If they looked like Dan Johns or Eli James or three of them niggers of Islam, chances are they'd have fit right in. You know what I mean? Nobody would have asked a second question of them. But supposedly the pigs came in, 30 pigs came in, nigger pigs, wigger pigs, you know, wigger pigs with masks, nigger pigs, well, without a mask, you know, relying on the fact that most of the time we can't tell niggers apart. So they went on, and at least Ashkenazi Afwat goes ahead and admits that AryanNations.org is different than AryanNation.org. See, what you end up having is you have, you know, you have Gillette taking off the F on Aryan Nation. And folks, I went ahead, and I don't think it's still on there, but he went through a little ceremony, and it was a sort of pathetic ceremony. He's reading from a piece of paper what he thinks that Butler used to do, and Gillette doesn't know what he's doing. He's just reading from a piece of paper. I mean, you know, it's a little bit different than, say, Brian Rio going ahead and reading Wikipedia CI, but not much different. So, you have this, you have these people going ahead and arguing on this blog. Well, where was the inside security? Shouldn't have been left in to be, you know, begin with. Now, from what I gather, these people had gone ahead and paid their registration fee to attend, and they show up, and since they paid the registration fee, they're allowed to attend. And then supposedly somebody got all antsy and called them in. Now, folks, if you're going to have an Aryan Nation Congress, you're going to have a circus, you're going to have an ass clown show, then let it be open to the general public. Let the pigs and let the journalists in. If you're going to have an ass clown meeting, have an ass clown meeting. What of it? Who cares? You're not doing anything illegal. But you go ahead and hear is that these people knew damn well who they ran to, and they went ahead and bought some security cameras, and they put them up in the trees, brand new security cameras. Essentially, what they wanted to do is that Gillette end up having a half-assed. You either have it full-assed or not-assed. Now, if you're going to have a real meeting of the devout to go ahead and do their sermons, the modern way is to not go ahead and pull this shit. It's to simply have it online and cut it to a DVD and have a sermon here, sort of like I ought to do more often with my Hour of Great Tribulations. To where, folks, the audience doesn't get to determine what the sermon is going to be about. They listen to the sermon, and then they can comment on the blog post. That's how you do things in an internet age. If you are serious, now, if you're just an ass clown playing at shit, you do it like Gillette did it. And sure enough, it became an ass clown meet. Gillette doesn't understand anything about Christian Day. In fact, John Britton was bitching. One of
things he bitched is while Gillette was in prison, this was in January 2006, he wanted to essentially send to Gillette a copy of the AIT from Kingdom Identity Ministries so Gillette would at least have a notion of what the heck he was talking about. And Gillette didn't want to do it. Gillette didn't want to study the AIT course for free. So then when Brian Wright claimed that it was a requirement of Gillette, and I pretty well was honest. I said, hey, look, I only didn't get past lesson three because essentially Mike Callimore lets females grade the thing and they don't know what the heck they're doing. So essentially I didn't need his little certificate. I just simply got the full-fledged course and I'm going to leave it at that. Okay? And, you know, John Britton, why he had the course as a teenager back when Wesley Swift was running, you know, well, not when Wesley Swift, but essentially when, you know, during the early days, because Wesley Swift had a sort of in-house seminary. That's where the Britons came in. Wesley Swift had, from what I gather, one heck of a library. And what the main thing that annoys me, especially about Jurel Mosley and Mike Callimore, is that essentially they want to go ahead and keep Wesley Swift's books pretty much to themselves. And Jurel Mosley, I think, is a mamzer, old, crippled old mamzer, evil fag who doesn't want to go ahead and let out Wesley Swift's library to anybody else. He's bitching that old Mike Callimore does it. But Mike Callimore wants to make a living off the AIT course. I guess I can't blame him too much, but folks, that acts like a sort of bottleneck. It's a bottleneck I need to go ahead and work on opening by allowing more Comparean material. And folks, I went ahead and I was looking at his lesson in Daniel, and I agreed with three-quarters of it. I did not agree with the end result of it. I don't believe that today is the fifth kingdom. You know, well, today is the fifth kingdom, but it's the kingdom which will go ahead and be destroyed by Jesus Christ. It's Zog the third, you know, Zog, Babylon the third, and the final. Well, folks, you have all these people, and they go ahead and we read Wikipedia. They go ahead and read all these Baal priests and these Jews, and they think that that's what Christian identity is about, and they don't understand what it's about. They were not raised in the church. They're not fluent in it. Many of the time, even, you know, with Russ here, Russ wasn't raised in the church. And I go ahead and point out to him Deuteronomy chapter 23, what it actually says, and Russ still can't get it. Russ's understanding, that's why he believes in this Ephraim Scepter horseshit, is it comes from Herbert Armstrong's thing here, and I'm not worried about Ephraim Scepter because Russ, for my guess, the youngest one of the lot, he's 67, 68 years old. I don't think there's going to be too many Ephraim Scepter heretics left in about 5 or 10 years. I think it's all going to die out. And you cannot explain anything to Russ because he will go ahead and just dust himself off and get up, you know, like you haven't chewed on his ass just a minute or so ago. There's a lot of people like that. But these people do not understand anything about Christian identity. And I would like to thank old Ashkenazi Asswipe because he let me go ahead and post what I was going to say about Christian identity. And folks, these criminals have come in through hearing Whiggers and Zoglings talk about the AIT course from Kingdom Identity Ministries. They go ahead and get it, and they're already hardened criminals like Rabbi Finkelsheeny or Catholic Marino Jews like Eli James and Dan Johns. Not a single one of these imposters were taught either British Israelitism as a child through Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God, or better yet, as a child through Pastor Wesley Swift's Church of Jesus Christ Christian. The end result of these drunken criminals and addicts and Jews and mamzers learning superficial Wikipedia Christian identity, you know, as taught on TalkStew, is a sort of Talmudic silliness and vain ceremony and no real heartfelt understanding of Yahweh's racial religion for a servant nation. Folks, the reason Jesus Christ ran sort of a medicine show, and he would go ahead and give teaching, but it would be in the form of parables so that they would not understand it. Folks, it is presumptuous to claim and to believe that you get to pick Jesus Christ, that you get to pick God. God is just a little, he's just a little sort of critter here who usually is confined in a wooden or stone or bronze or even gold if you have enough money. He's confined to a little statue, and that's his representation. And God is just like a little puppy dog. And what happens, you're going to go ahead and order the McDonald's value meals. And when you're ready for Jesus Christ and God, you're going to go ahead and pet him like my little black poopy dog. And essentially, he's just going to wag his little tail. Jesus and Yahweh is going to go ahead and do it. And Jesus and Yahweh, they don't understand that you're a Mamzer, you're a Jew, or you're a Shitskin, because, essentially, Yahweh is the God of fucktards, is what you want to go ahead and pretend to believe. And folks, that's not the way at all. You do not pick Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ picks you. And where you have free will as a white man is whether or not you will heed the call. Whether you will go ahead and choose, like Adam and Eve, to understand for yourself and do things my way, which goes as the broad path which leads to perdition. Like Jesus Christ said, which most of the people go. Or whether or not you'll follow the hard and straight path that Christ lays out for you. Now, folks, I benefited by, although I didn't think so at the time, I benefited from having to sit my butt on a steel folding chair from the age of 10 to the age of 20, 21. I went ahead and benefited from 9 years of intensive religious instruction, lasting at least 2.5 hours every Saturday. And folks, that's why I need to do more of my hour of great tribulation, to where people will sort of understand what a service, a Christian identity service, is like. A real one. Not reading from the AIT. Not reading from Wikipedia. And having Mamzer sing a Sig Heil, Sig Heil, Sig Heil in uniform when they look like shitskins. That's not what Christian identity is. You have to understand it here. And what I see absolutely no understanding of it is the white heart understanding the law and the will of Yahweh and understanding what it is, the aesthetically beautiful, simple religion of dual seed line Christian identity. Which is, yes, we are the chosen seed of Israel's race. And yes, we do understand our destiny is to go ahead and go against the ways of the world, go against Satan's world, and to earn our reward of everlasting life. And not get bogged down into playing, "Oh, no, he was nice to me. He didn't recognize me as a minister." Folks, I like when faggots and Mamzers say, "Well, you're not Christian identity." Why? Well, because, Mamzers and faggots get to determine dual seed line Christian identity clergy. And the answer is no, you don't. It's Jesus Christ, Jeremiah 3:15, who chooses his pastors. And my job as a pastor is not meant to go ahead and bring every Mamzer goat, every diseased Swigger sheep to the end of the line, but rather to make sure that these jukels will go ahead and deal with the goats and deal with the diseased animals. Folks, there was a mixed multitude which left Egypt, but it was not a mixed multitude when it crossed over the River Jordan to invade the land of Canaan, to go ahead and kill all the Canaanites, kill all these Jews, kill all these Mamzers. And folks, even then, they did not obey Yahweh. And they left them alone, and thus for the curse was that these Canaanite Jews would go, just like since the days of Cain, they would continue to go against the Israelites. So, you have to, folks, you don't have to be a child when you were raised up in it. You can go ahead and learn it from an age. But folks, you have to be Aryan. You have to be white in order to go ahead and understand it and relate to it and benefit from it. Folks, this religion of ours, of Christian identity, there's nothing for you if you're a Jew or a Mamzer. There's nothing for you. All you can be is just a Zogbot making a living and forming and ratting on people on behalf of the Jews. If you're not white, you cannot benefit from this religion. In fact, it is poison to you. Why do you think Visser, why do you think Jeremy Visser essentially cannot go ahead and last in Christian identity? And it isn't because, Martin Lindstedt or John Britton has gone ahead and knocked on. The answer of it is we are suspicious, but it was him who went ahead and admitted he was a Mamzer in order to get out of the stalking charge. It was his mother-in-law here who essentially says, well, folks, there's nothing in it for my grandchildren. According to the real, genuine Christian day, my grandchildren are Mamzers. Whereas they could go ahead and become good Catholics or even good Lutherans. But not good Christian day. Don't name your kid Phineas. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Because sooner or later you will be revealed. And folks, this is not getting anywhere. He ought to just simply go back to being a Lutheran or a Catholic or whatever and stop pretending to be, anything that he's not. Truett, same thing. 20-some years of your life has been spent in prison. The best thing you can do is live a godly life. But it's not godly to pretend to be something you're not. It's not godly to go ahead and bring Mamzers, Jews, and criminals into the congregation of Israel. And certainly it's not godly to bring yourself if you're not Aryan. It's presumptuous, and Yahweh will not go ahead and bless you for it. You're not blessed for being a Mamzer, bringing yourself into the congregation. And folks, anybody like you read who goes ahead and brings these Mamzers, essentially they're race traitors. They are treasonous. Deuteronomy 23:2 says that, Mamzer shall not enter the congregation of the house of Israel forever, not even until the 10th generation. So what's the penalty for that? Are you not a race traitor for doing it? And what should be your penalty? And your penalty should be, you already have the penalty of being a Mamzer. Your penalty for, if you're not a Mamzer, is of being a race traitor and destroying Yahweh's servant nation. So folks, this Aryan Nation Congress turned out to be a total clusterfuck. I'm going to go ahead and, I'm pretty well finished with that. I'm going to go ahead and go on to what's going on in the rest of the bowel movement, and mainly in the National Socialist movement. So folks, we're going to take a, 2-minute break. Be back. Hail Victory.
Go for Dickie's Merry Kit to see what I can find. I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. His butt fuck is my hands and his weather's all day. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SS. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SS. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SS. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SS. With the gay pride parade, Dickie rolls with pride, sucking off niggers in the dusty countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Wanna be a sword master in the SF? Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF? Wanna be a sword master in the SF? Sword master, sword faggot in the SF! Today I grin when I see his bull whip. My sphincter's not contested. I know it's really drips. Get that little butt, a gleam in my eye. Call me Brian Real. I shall nothing but lies. I'll be a sword bender in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a sword bender in the SF. Sword bender, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword bender in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword bender in the SF. Sword bender, sword faggot in the SF.
Okay, folks, we're back. Last Sunday, this Sunday, on 60 Minutes, the CBS News had their tychus, Leslie Stahl, which means, I guess, steal. Sort of call her Leslie Stalin or something like that. But old Leslie Stalin was, you know, in her blue-eyed Esther Tychus way. And folks, you have kikes, Amorite kikes, who are blonde, blue-eyed. Those are Stalls, you know, it's an Esther Tychus. She looks like she could have been hot here. Of course, she's what? Oh, born 1941, so that means she's what? Oh, 70 years old? She don't look bad for Esther, you know, for a former Esther Tychus. All wide, blue-eyed and all that. And they went ahead and looked at old Jeff Hall. Not so much Jeff Shoup, but Jeff Hall. And Jeff Hall looked to me like a working-class white who had essentially Zog Babylon had screwed him over. I'm sure that if Mr. Hall had... Oh, a job. He would have been busy. He wouldn't have got into mischief. He certainly wouldn't have played Nazi. I see a whole bunch of fat, stupid, hobbyist Nazis. And they're like this one Jew went in and said that Adolf Hitler would put in a concentration camp or put on the Eastern Front in a penal battalion. But I don't know. I looked at Mr. Hall, and from what I gather, he was affable. He sort of reminded me of a young Michael Collins, is what he actually did. You know, the head of the IRA. And he had a kid. And folks, there's people who go ahead and raise children. So they're like my little retarded grandson. More and more and more, these children are born not quite right. You know, mine was born a little bit retarded, and the other one was a chicken head. And folks, this stupidity is not helped by essentially being doped up with Ritalin, being sent to pubic schools, and turned into tards. It's not helped one bit. And the point they tried to make is that this kid had something wrong with him. He didn't understand consequences, what his grandmother said. And the killer of the father was the son, the only son. Now, what screwed up is that from what I gather, they sent the mother to prison or threatened her with prison or made her a felon because I guess they claim that she's responsible for there being a loaded gun in the house in California. Now, folks, pigs and prosecutors and legislators who go ahead and make such laws disarming the general population ought to be skinned alive, them and their entire families, okay? This is a Brandenburg moment I'm having. There is nothing. You go ahead and you make a treasonous law which goes ahead and destroys the freedom of the common people, you should be publicly skinned alive and crucified, you and your worthless family. I've already talked about what happened to the house of Saul and the house of Ahab and what Saul and Ahab did. Child's play compared to what Zog Babylon the third and final does. But now the grandmother is raising the daughters and she's visiting the son every chance she gets a chance to. And folks, I really feel for Mr. Hall. Now people are saying is that Jeff Shoup last year was a Satanist, this year was a Jew, Eli James. And they're saying that the kid was sort of screwed up. more screwed up. But folks, why in the world should you have, you know, you have this Rocky Sahaya, you know, the ANP 14, whatever, and you have them pretty well blaming that. Well, folks, there's quite truth here is that old Jeff Shoup will throw people under the bus. Jeff Shoup goes ahead and uses people because Jeff Shoup, I think, is just a criminal who doesn't know how to behave. You know, behaves worse than a nigger. Abandons his family, goes ahead, and what's it to him if he goes ahead and has Satanists 1 year, Jews the next year, pretend to be a Christian organization, has a nigger stepdaughter. What difference does it make? Now, I ran afoul over on Harold Covington's page with this JT Ready, and there's another piece of shit. Another total piece of shit. And folks, JT Ready on Sperm Front, and this cocksucker's wild on Sperm Front. I'm not wild on Sperm Front, but this cocksucker is. JT Ready. And folks, what I see is a big, fat, stupid Asian provocateur. But folks, who's the bigger stupid? Somebody who goes ahead and gets sent to prison as a result of them? And from what I gather, this Jeffrey Harbum, as of Wednesday, pled guilty to making and transporting bombs, will get a max of 5 years in prison. And he was recruited by this JT Ready and kicked out by this JT Ready, called a thief, and the rest. And folks, you all listen to this cartoon. You have something, you know, on Tom Metzger's thing? Where it says FBI, you know, tactics in the, you know, so-called skinhead movement, to where you have somebody dressed up as a stormtrooper like JT Ready going ahead and telling people to do something illegal, then ha, now you're going to go ahead and spend, you know, time in prison for something I set you up. And this JT Ready has all the hallmarks of an Asian provocateur. And I've been ripping him a whole new one. I went ahead and created a JT Ready sock puppet over on White Nationalist Forum. But let me go ahead and talk. I mean, just a little bit ago, the other day, over on Sperm Front here, old JT Ready was saying about Jeff Hall's kid, that reporter is sick, and the demented comments from viewers, most likely Jews or crypto Jews. As for Jeff's son, at the age of 25, when he is eligible to be released from juvenile, they should commit him to a mental institution for life. I met that weird little kid in Jeff's home several times. He definitely had a defect in his brain. Said he murdered his father before he could have been put down. As for the rest of Jeff's family, we should support them in every way possible. As for us, we should show our support of truth and solidarity at the rally. Hail Hitler. Well, I've seen that shit over on Sperm Front. And by the way, over at Sperm Front, you can't get access to later posts. The Sperm Front moderators have gone ahead and cut off your access to see the last number of pages. Now, Sperm Front does that shit when they get caught doing something crooked or something stupid. But I had my little sock puppet pretty well said, you know, and the title of it was, "If it weren't for the fact you're a one sick Zog Asian provocateur fuck, I think you were just a typical Zogling wigger or Mamzer sick fuck." And to this JT Reddy's thing, I said, why? Is that what Mr. Hall would want? His only son put down? His only son institutionalized for life in a mental institution? That certainly isn't what I heard from the grandmother of Mr. Hall's daughters. She blamed this movement for her son's death, even while acknowledging that the kid had problems. She and the sister and the cops blamed this movement as a sort of triggering event for this tragedy. And that's pretty well, I hate to admit it, but that Jew, that tychus, Leslie Stahl, didn't have hard kike propaganda. It was soft kike propaganda. Soft, poisonous kike propaganda. But folks, this bowel movement of ours is full of Mamzers, is full of Jews, is full of Zogbots. And JT Ready is one of them. Going on. I get the feeling that you people use Mr. Hall, and your kind wants to use Mr. Hall, even in death, and to hell with what is best for Mr. Hall's family. I'm sure that if the grandmother had heard what Hall's, quote, friend said, then they would most certainly blame you and your kind more than they did the kid. The above statement is why a number of people out in TV land are thinking that Jeff Hall would be alive if only he had never gotten involved in the movement, especially the NSM and especially that sick, Zog, Asian provocateur fuck JT Reddy. Statements like those above are why white nationalists are losing the public relations war. If it wasn't for the fact you are one sick, Zog, Asian provocateur fuck, I'd think that you were just one typical Zogling wigger or Mamzler ass clown sick fuck. Folks, I think this JT Reddy is a Zog, Asian provocateur. I think that Jeff Shoup essentially is looking to make a living running an Asian provocateur organization, going to creatards and Anglo-Mestizos, and essentially having them never grow up, letting them go ahead and live in a costume clown world. Folks, that's what I see. That's exactly what I see. That's why the very few times, about the really the only time I've ever seen anything that is even remotely good, and I don't always agree with Harold Covington, but folks, Harold Covington at least is Northwest plan here, and folks, it was with my blessing that somebody moved from Missouri, you know, like he wanted to do, up to Hill, you know, up to, what, Seattle, Portland, wherever, they moved to the great Northwest. Because, folks, my three programs is first you get right with Yahweh. Well, guess what? Hill Covington's Northwest Imperative, he doesn't have a problem if you get right with Yahweh. In fact, he'd probably like if you got right with Yahweh or whatever God you do believe, although, obviously, I'm not quite sure. I do not agree with Harold Covington's notions, you know, about that. You know, he's not really Christian identity, but I don't have a problem. So, number one, taken care of here. Harold Covington's program doesn't have any problem with, number one, getting right with Yahweh first. Number two, take care of yourself and your family. Second, get in right with them and making sure they do right. And folks, Harold Covington doesn't have a problem with number two. In fact, he agrees with number two. He doesn't go ahead and ask people to go ahead and dress up in uniform in a clown suit, lose their jobs. In fact, he wants people to come up to the Great Northwest and get a job up there. Get a job within Zog Babylon, but not part of Zog Babylon. He urges you to learn a trade. Folks, that is good sense, regardless of whether you move to the Great Northwest or not. And then third, he wants people to go ahead and when things fall apart to become community activists for the white race and go ahead and overthrow Zog Babylon, the third and final. Well, folks, isn't that pretty well what I'm said? Now, folks, I don't insist that you move to the Great Northwest. Obviously, I'm not going to. But, folks, I don't have a bit of problem with Harold Covington going ahead and following pretty well the 10,000 Warlords program, but in the Northwest. Zog Babylon is falling apart. I go ahead and listen to the news, and essentially they're going ahead and talking about taxing the Greeks here with a property tax that they can't pay while they're reducing their... Essentially, they're just going ahead and stealing what money is left among the people here. And that's what you see the Republicans and Democrats talking about. We can't go ahead and go against those people, go ahead and give us big old campaign contributions, so we're going to go ahead and continue to outsource jobs here. Folks, the entire world has become Mamzerized. and so is this country. That's why things have turned to shit. The pigs are just nothing more than thugs which go in and support the Jew world order. So, folks, I don't know. I don't agree, all Gerald Covington, that where you go is so much important. But on the other hand, it doesn't hurt to go to the Great Northwest and meet more people like you. And, folks, that's the only movement, non-Christian identity movement, or portion of the movement, that I can go ahead and have any problems with supporting. Now, they're going to go ahead and deal with Jews and Mamzers in the case of McFag, McBragg, and the rest here acting like a total Jew because he is a Jew or a Jew Mamzer of sorts. But, folks, there's nothing wrong with Harold Covington's plan. In fact, I think it's a fairly good plan. It's about the only one that I see in this bowel movement of ours that works. Now, I've seen, Wallace, he wants to go ahead and have a white ethnostate in Dixie. Well, lots of luck, Hunter. Lots of luck. In this bowel movement of ours, certainly Galette's. He had this here woman who looked sort of like a tall Filipino woman, Monica Stone. I mean, she didn't look altogether white herself. And essentially, went around in uniform whining about the fate of South African Boers. Well, how's that going to solve anything? All it does is give Mamzers an excuse to run around in uniform, pretend to be Aryan warriors, which they're not. Is solving anything? It's not. Folks, all these problems will be solved. They will be solved by a great tribulation. They will be solved by stupid Uyghurs dying in the millions, and then the Mamzers and Jews not having anything to live off of and them dying by the billions. And folks, there will be a solution to all the problems that ail us. Right now, like the Germans like to say, the German General Staff of World War I like to say, is that the situation is hopeless, but not serious. In short, the situation as it is now is hopeless. There is nothing that can be done to restore what used to be. And you know why restored? Because it had the seeds and what would destroy it. It had a Zog Babylon Jew World Order, and now this Zog Babylon Jew World Order is coming to the end of its rope. So the situation is hopeless, but not serious. And the dual seed line Christian identity solution of the Great Tribulation, of the 10,000 warlords to go ahead and mop up, is to let the situation become serious. So that all the problem makers are dead and only a few of the problem solvers, and them and only them, only the white, only the Aryan, only the pure members of Yahweh's sacred nation survive, so that the situation is serious. But because we no longer have the problem makers keeping us from solving the problems are no longer hopeless. And folks, pretty well the German General Staff was out to go ahead and create the situation from being hopeless, but not serious, to being serious, but not hopeless. And pretty well that is exactly what this ministry, and that's pretty well what this show is about, is to tell them that, folks, there is hope ahead. But there's only hope ahead if you be the chosen seed of Israel's race, the found sheep of the house of Israel, you who did hear Christ's call and to whom Christ extended invitation. So, folks, that's pretty well what I wanted to go ahead and discuss. The two important things which happened this weekend, was essentially the NSM being revealed as a bunch of Nazi tards which go ahead and get the best of their members killed, and more Scalette's pathetic Aryan Nations clown conference. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a quits because, folks, Talk Stew is supposed to implode pretty soon anyway. So, folks, this is the last segment, at least of the chat portion. So I say unto you, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh, white men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow, white men go, civil war ho, on the corn as long, let red blood flow. When Adam delved in Eve's defense, Kyrie, oh, who was then the ruling man? Kyrie, white men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corner blocks, let red blood flow. For white men, their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On dogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out castle. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the court of laws, let red blood flow. The regime must only love his greed, aye, aye, oh, the love of God our only need, aye, aye, oh, white men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, aye, aye, oh, ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, aye, aye, oh, ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.